Silver Streaks Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Kehoe Eye Care. They care for people, not just eyes. By Watson Thomas Funeral Home and Crematory in Galesburg. Celebrating life's legacy. By Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating in Galesburg. You deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. By Dave's Auto Body in Galesburg. You better call Dave's. By Galesburg Nissan on North Henderson Street, home of the lifetime warranty. By Courtright Construction of Oneida, the right choice for your next project. Silver Streaks Football is also brought to you by First United Methodist Church in downtown Galesburg. By Yem Auto Group on North Henderson in Galesburg, home to Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram. Say yes to Yem. By RP Lumber, best service, best value. And by Bates Collision Center in Galesburg. We take the decision out of collision. Now, the WGIL broadcast team of Brad Benowitz, Sean Hickey, and Jake Miller with Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Good evening from Rock Island Public Schools Stadium. Thanks for being with us for Silver Streaks Football on this Good Friday evening. And I think, I didn't really scour through the history book to know 100% for sure, if I could say this accurately. But I'm pretty confident that this is the first time in history that the Silver Streaks have played on Good Friday and a game in April, no less. And this is a good one, fellas, tonight. I tell you, for a short six-game season, boy, there's a spotlight shining down on this one here tonight. These two teams, 2-0, Rock Island playing at home, defending its home turf. And Sean, I'll start off with you as we're about a minute 40 from kickoff. I'm going to prod your defensive mind here to just kind of, I know we heard from defensive coordinator Marty Turner, but, you know, what kind of is your concern from your defensive mind in terms of stopping these guys? They're the number one scoring team in the conference.
Well, you said it in the interview with Coach Washerball, talking about speed to space. That's always been an issue with Rock Island in terms of their athletes and being able to get outside and trying to get that speed to space. So, you know, some of the things that we've seen the past couple weeks with Geneseo and Quincy, defensive-wise, we are seventh in the conference for pass defense, but number one in the conference for rush defense. So we're doing some really good things on the run side of it, but on the pass side we have to improve a little bit. And what better team to try to do that to would be Rock Island here tonight.
And with that strong wind running right to left we're looking down on the field from the visitor side facing the home side, John Wren is going to kick this game off, and we'll have a pretty good wind behind him to kick this one off. And back to receive for the Rocks will be Jacoby B. and Jalen Brozovic, a couple of players you heard Coach Mike Washabaugh talk about in the pregame. And Jake, we asked you about this. It's been about a half hour ago. I'm guessing that the wind conditions haven't really changed a whole lot in that time.
Nope. No change. No change at all, and it's going to play a role tonight. Both teams got to play in it, though. Coaches understand which direction that they're going. You might see some strategic timeouts and, trying to get punts off at the ends of quarters and things. So there's, it's nothing they haven't played in before, and they're going to be just comfortable as the whistle is blown, and here we go. Streaks kicking off.
52 degrees under clear skies and a 16-mile-an-hour wind from the south, taken at the 7 by Brozovic. Up the middle of the field, found room to run across the 30 to the 40, bouncing to the outside, and the ball pops free at the 45-yard line, and I think Brozovic was able to regain it as the ball came right back to him. So good starting position for the Rocks on the opening possession. And a nice run back by Brozovic, and we're certainly hoping we're not calling his name with the ball in his hands a whole lot tonight.
Yeah, that had the look of a lot of bad things occurring there. There was a gap right in the middle, and that little middle wedge they ran, and they ran it well, really well. It looked like, was that Malloy there that stuck his head in there at the end and caused a fumble, but unfortunately it bounced right back up to him.
So the ball starts off near midfield for the Rocks with a handoff to the right side. And good defensive stop by the Silver Streaks on the opening play. The handoff to Xander George, trying to get to the outside, and loses a couple on first down.
Jeremiah Morris there getting penetration, and penetration is the key to knocking everything down in terms of stopping the run, and the Streaks continue to show their dominance up front on the interior.
This Rock Island team comes in shorthanded. Eli Reese did not start the season at quarterback, but this is his second game starting, and the swing pass to the outside. Jacoby B with a catch gets to the outside into Silver Streaks territory, up the far sideline, across the 40 to about the 37-yard line, where he's taken down there for a big gain and a new set of downs for the Rocks.
And that's the example right there of that speed to space I was talking about, where a quick pitch out there, a little swing pass to the guy that was stepping back off the line, a couple blockers out in front of him, gets a big gain out of it.
Just a little bubble screen to the left, and the difference tonight is our DBs weren't able to get off their blocks.
Those are the gain of 20. And now up the middle, straight up the middle, across the 35, still driving the pile to the 30, inside to the 29-yard line, where the play finally comes to a stop on the handoff to Xander George, a junior. Marion Rogers is the leading rusher in the Western Big Six Conference coming in, but he is not playing tonight, or at least is not in the starting lineup. And Xander George gets a start out of the backfield and picks up 8 on first down. It'll be 2nd and 2 from the Silver Streak 29-yard line. Motion right to left. Reese, the keeper, hit across the 39 to the 20, back to the original line of scrimmage, then pushed backwards, and the Streaks bring up 3rd and 2 on a good stop on the quarterback keeper.
Yeah, they're running what we would call jet motion. And the quarterback has the option there to give it on the jet or to keep it himself. And again, penetration was able to stop that play for a little or probably a little bit of a loss there. So a big third down here as the Streaks are facing that, at least for the first time tonight.
You know, Jake, they will come back to that jet.
Oh, yeah.
We will see more of that tonight.
So 2 wideouts to the right. The quarterback, Reese, trying to make some adjustments to the far wideout to the right side. Handoff goes up to the middle. George on 3rd and 2, and he's got the first down to the 25-yard line. Still pushing the bodies forward as the officials blow the play dead. And they're going to mark him down at about the 24, it looks like. So he picks up 5 on 3rd and 2 and a new set of downs.
Just simple dive play there, right? 3rd and short, and it was just kind of our guys against yours. And I don't know, you know, for the first time this season, it does look like the Streaks are outsized, at least in the trenches. The center there definitely outweighing our nose tackle. That might be something to look at tonight, too. Our guys are very physical, and they need to continue to establish that tonight.
2 minutes into the game. Rock Island to the Galesburg 23-yard line, where the first down marker is set. Back to pass, Reese. Flushed out, rolling to the left. Has a little bit of room to run. The far side of the field bumped out of bounds, short of the 20. It'll be a short gain. The officials say his progress stopped inbounds. Clock continues to move, and a gain of 3 to the 21.
Coach Washbaugh talked about the shot plays that Rock Island was trying to do, and Perry Slater was the intended target. Mm-hmm. The quarterback picked, I think, the wrong target as Rockin had him blanketed. Quarterback didn't like what he saw there and had to scramble out.
Terrell Akers, the wideout, good-sized kid, the wideout to the far side of the field. Streaks jump off sides, and now the official blows the whistle as Jeremiah Morris got into the neutral zone and it couldn't stop his momentum. He continued to fumble forward, and that's going to be 5 yards on the Silver Streaks to bring up 2nd and 2.
Yeah, that's a big difference from 2nd and 8 to 2nd and 3, or
especially inside the 20 now.
Right,
too.
That opens up the playbook a little bit.
And this is the formation I'm worried about. Real quick over the middle.
Swing pass to the outside, though. It's caught by Brozovic to the 10, trying to get to the corner. Trying to spin out of the sideline and knocked out of bounds at about the 7. It'll be 1st and goal, Rock Island, on a gain of 9.
So they're not going over the middle. Sean's talking about trips to the wide side of the field. And on that play, they didn't go vertical over the middle, although I'm certainly expecting that later. They, again, ran their little bubble screen, and it's essentially a numbers game. They're going to have 2 blockers on 2 defenders out there until the pursuit comes. And right now, the Streak's struggling to get off their blocks.
We got 2 guys in the backfield right now.
9th play of the opening drive. The quarterback keeper, Reese, to the outside. Flag gets
it's
thrown
be a
as
hold.
He takes it into the corner for the touchdown.
Right, it's coming back.
Well, they're going to have to call off the whistle.
Call off the train horn there. Yeah, it was clear as day right in front of us here. The official was right on it. Aaron Carl was spun around, and his jersey was almost ripped off of his pads there. So this one's going to come back. Hold took place at about the 5-yard line, so we're going to see the ball placed at the 15.
Yeah, that was a quarterback sweep, what it was.
Student body.
Yeah, they did not pull anyone, though.
No.
I looked at the replay. They didn't pull anybody, but they had the 2 running backs leading out there. They had the 2 guys as receivers there as well to block for them. So, you know, like you said, it's student body. You get more people heading the same direction. Yeah. And it's beneficial to run that to the short side of the field because you get more bodies there.
And it's also beneficial, I think, on our defense is you'll see Hunter Davina running on the field side. Hunter Davina, certainly an outstanding defensive player, and they're going to game plan to run away from him whenever they can.
First and goal, Rock Island, inside the 15, looking left, throwing into the wind, man-to-man coverage, and right into the numbers on the far side of the field, into Cole Rusk's numbers, as he had a size advantage, he had a little bit of position with the ball thrown up high where only he could catch it, and the 15-yard touchdown gives Rock Island the lead 2.5 minutes into the game.
Man, at first, I really liked where Xavier was there at first. I thought he had position, but the throw was just on the money. When you got a 6'3 guy out there, maybe even taller, the quarterback put it exactly where he needed to.
Anthony Campbell is the kicker, and he'll be kicking into a pretty stiff, solid south wind. The snap a little bit high, but the hold gets down, and the kick is up and gets inside the right upright. For a 7-0 Rock Island lead, they march it 55 yards on the opening possession for a 7-0 lead. Or Silver Streaks with the ball coming up on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Mr. Blowhard, we're reviewing Dave's Auto Body.
Well, if they won our Ultimate 10 Stars of Excellence Award, they better be good. Let me see their file.
Oh, they're very good, Mr. B.
Just how good?
Well, a lifetime warranty.
Impressive.
They teach other body shops how to do it right.
Really?
Over 40 years of excellence, plus rapid processing technology.
Huh?
You get your car back real fast.
Oh.
Perfect every time, Mr. B.
People, we have a winner.
Dave's Auto Body.
10 Stars of Excellence.
You bet.
He deserved 10 stars.
Oh, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Join us for the next Bohannon Show. We'll be taking a look at the unfair practices by some Ivy League schools regarding admissions of Asian students. We'll see you here.
Jim Bohannon, tonight after the Silver Streaks on WGIL.
7-0, Rock Island leading the Silver Streaks, taking the opening drive, 8 plays, 55 yards, took 2.5 minutes off the clock. Touchdown pass from Eli Reese to wide receiver Cole Rusk for a 15-yard touchdown, and now the punt, or the kickoff, rather, from Anthony Campbell into that south wind, so the Silver Streaks can creep up here a little bit and maybe anticipate getting some decent field position. Of course, the Rocks got a big run back on the opening kickoff to give themselves position near midfield, and the ball goes high into the wind, crossing over is Dre Egyptiaco at the 16. Up the middle, trying to get to the outside and stop short of the 30 on the run back, where the Silver Streaks now have their first offensive possession of the night, trailing by a touchdown. Set the offense for you. Again, the Silver Streaks without starting quarterback Grant Ayton. Went out with a leg injury in the first quarter last week at home against Quincy, and sophomore Tristan Legate came in, and Streaks never missed a beat. Threw 3 touchdowns, 240 yards passing, and the sophomore in at starting quarterback tonight. Behind that line of Germany Goods, Jersey Siren, Reed Hawkins at center, Jeremiah Morris, and Jordan Payne. And they come up under center for the first play of the game. Mm-hmm. The handoff to the right side, and a good run on first down by Kyron Leith. A first down just across the 40 to about the 41 for a gain of 12.
Jake, was that Belly? Could you see if we pulled
that
or not?
No, that wasn't Belly. That was Veer. That was Veer.
Okay.
And we're running it out without a tight end. Rock Island in there. The defense you watch Coach Hickey install looks like a very similar 3-3 stack with outside linebackers walked up.
Out of the eye, first down from the Streaks 41. Handoff left. Leith again runs over a linebacker. Stopped just short of midfield at the 49, and he picks up 8 on first down as the Silver Streaks get 2 big running plays to start the day.
It's simple Veer right now. The give is the right call with those outside linebackers. Kind of walked off in a 4x4 and this will, unless Rock Island changes this will be something the Streaks will be able to do a lot of the night.
Yeah, with the 3 front, you're always vulnerable off tackle.
Just 2 plays into the game. Now rolling right, Legate on the play action, throws it, man open, and through the hands of Dre Egyptiaco. Would have been a first down at the Rock Island 40-yard line and maybe a little more room to run. Just went right through his hands, incomplete.
Yeah, Cole Rusk was out there defending, and he got his hands up, and I think it was just enough to block the visual there for Dre, so the ball kind of arrived on him a little sooner than he thought it would. Streaks back to double tight now as we see Aaron Carl and Hunter Davina. This is our big package. We'll be in the eye, and Kenny Klein will kind of play in what we call the H-back position outside the tackle.
Now we got an official's timeout. Line judge here on the near side saw something that he's walking over and
usually this
indicating.
Is an equipment issue of some kind. They want to spot the ball.
Which is right.
The ball to the near hash mark.
Yeah, which is right. But
incomplete pass, yes.
But, Jake, as you talk about us going big here, two tight ends, they're still in a three front.
Yes, they are.
The guy's walked up, but.
Out of the eye with Leith, the up end, gets it again, gets across the 50 into Rock Island territory, stacked up at about the 46, then pushed backwards, slipped one arm tackle right at the line of scrimmage, and Leith kept the pile moving for an additional yard after the hit. And the Streaks with a first down in Rock Island territory for the first time tonight at the 46.
Nothing fancy out here. It's been the same run play that they've ran successfully now four times. Mm-hmm. I think three times to the left and once to the right. It's veer option.
Single setback for the Streets. Legate with the wind in his back goes handoff, though, to Cannon Klein, left side. Pushes the pile across the 40 to the 43. Inside. That was Alex.
Down
to the 36-yard line. On a big run, a pickup of 10, and the Streaks move the chains again.
You know, it's interesting that we're going with the wind, and you see the Streaks doing their damage on the ground.
Yeah.
Rock Island was going against it. They did their damage in the air. So everything I said at the beginning of the broadcast, I guess you can throw out the window. These guys are doing offensively what they need to do.
7:45 to go first quarter. Rock Island leading 7-0. This is the Streaks' first offensive possession. Play action. Legate rolling right under pressure in the backfield and taken down by Terrell Akers back at the 45-yard line for a loss of 9 on first down.
Yeah, they sold out. Rock Island sold out there with an edge rush, and we do have linemen pulling out to protect as we're moving the pocket. And he just beat the lineman to the spot there. So Tristan did a good job of getting that ball back into his body and not having causing a turnover.
Loss of 8, 2nd and 18. Ball spotted at the Rock's 44-yard line. Back into the eye go the Streaks. Hand off right. Leith again stopped short of the 40 at about the 41. Much shorter gain on 2nd down. Pickup of 3, and it'll be 3rd and 15. And the Streaks faced with their first challenge of the night in terms of a play call here on 3rd and long.
Yeah, 3rd and 15 does kind of limit the playbook. We're going to see two tight ends in the ball game here, as well as two receivers out wide, Gypsyako and Cohen Derry.
And Legate will drop back into the gun again with the wind behind him. Looking left, still looking left, throws it that direction, and the ball sails on him out of bounds.
Dre never had a chance. Yeah, Dre
had
separation, though. It was a deep comeback route. To the outside, he had separation. He came back right at the sticks, but the ball was overthrown.
Coach Washbaugh looks like he's going to run the punting unit out on the field.
This is tricky.
Yeah, it is tricky right now because you're going to punt with the wind, and you certainly want to try to keep it out of the end zone if you possibly can.
Ball at the 40. Hunter Davina was struggling punting the ball into the wind during warm-ups as we were watching. This one will be, again, with the wind behind him.
Rock Island only has 10 out there. It's easy math. Two guys come on, three guys went off.
They're going to run it. High snap. Hunter gets a hand on it. Goes down with a knee again back at the Galesburg 45-yard line. Second week in a row we have seen that. Last week it was a low snap. This week it was a high snap that Hunter had to leave his feet. Reached as high as he could with that big frame, got a hand on it, and then as he came down with his hand on the ball, the knee went down, and the Streaks give up good field position here, trailing 7-0 with 6:26 to go in the opening half.
And right here, Jake, is an opportunity. You talked about those shot plays.
Oh, yeah.
You know, well, it's not a turnover. Okay,
I mean, but it acted like
time.
It, yeah.
This is the time to do it.
Yeah, it's almost like a turnover. Obviously, we weren't able to gain any yardage because of the bad snap. Davina does a good job of at least getting a hand on that ball. Because it was well above his head.
Overcompensating with snapping, long snap into that wind. Handoff goes to the left side, and the Streaks stop it right at the line of scrimmage. Looked like the handoff went to Marion Rogers back into the game.
Yep.
And sure enough, so the leading rusher in the Western Big Six Conference didn't start, but he gets the handoff on the first play of this series. Second offensive possession for the Rocks, but no gain. Streaks defended it well.
That was a sideline warning. I think.
Thought I heard that.
Oh, yeah. Sideline warning on Rock Island.
Yep.
Well, I forgot I was going to say. Oh, Jake, that was an RPO. I mean, what they did there was they gave, but the inside receiver was coming in as if it could have been like a little slot screen, and the quarterback even carried out a fake like he could run it.
Visiting with Coach Wash yesterday, said he didn't anticipate really seeing much of any RPO by Rock Island tonight. There's a pump fake left, now flushed out of the pocket. Reese under pressure, gets the pass away, and then batted down on the man-to-man coverage by Riley Hickey, going man-to-man against Jalen Brozovic at the 50-yard line, and it falls incomplete.
Good job there on both sides of the football. Hunter DeVino with the rush, and good job by the quarterback to avoid the sack, and Riley Hickey sticking on his man and making a good defense of the football right at the point of the catch.
Yep, physicality. You got to be physical. I think he's heard me say that a few times before.
They were trying to double move on the opposite end of the field, and Xavier did a good job of holding on.
Out of the gun on third and 10 at the Galesburg 45. Now looking to the sideline, Reese.
And there's they a called flag it.
Down. They got it. Yep,
you heard it.
Exactly right. So what happened there was the tight end went down, got into his position, put his hand in the grass because he's on the line of scrimmage. They kind of switched up the play call, so the tight end sat up to kind of see what the play call was. Well, as soon as you take your hand out of the grass, that is a legal procedure. So back they go.
Second penalty against Rock Island. They had a holding penalty on their scoring drive when they got inside the Galesburg 10-yard line. Negated a touchdown at the time, but they scored on the very next snap. So this will bring up third and 15 with the ball spotted right at midfield, right in dead center. That RI logo in the middle of Almquist Field here with 5:31 to go in the opening quarter. Rock Island leading 7-0, and a big opportunity for the Streaks defense to make a stop here. Third and 15 out of the gun. Reese, the quarterback, rolling right, looking, gets a lead block, throws it downfield, and it falls incomplete at the 40, short of the 40-yard line. That would not have been a first down, even if Brozovic had made the catch, and it'll bring up fourth and 15.
It looks like they had a deep comeback there, Jake, would you say, and then a corner route by the tight end over the top of that.
Yep, deep comeback, and Rakeen was playing him pretty soft, actually, probably softer than he needed to. Rakeen is definitely athletic enough to stay with him, but certainly, you know, was fearful of the double move.
The corner right behind him.
Right.
So give up the 10-yarder.
Of course.
Which if he
make
receives
a choice.
That, yeah, if he catches that ball, they're still short and going for fourth down here.
Anthony Campbell to punt into the wind here, and flags, whistles, right as the snap is made. Galesburg applauding. False start again by the Rocks. Now moves the ball back to the Rock Island 45-yard line. And that'll be good for the Silver Streaks, punting into that wind for Rock Island, possibly setting up even better field position.
This was a good hold for the Streaks defense. You know, for the first time all year, we saw the opening drive result in a touchdown against the Streaks defense, but be able to, you know, after a bad snap and, you know, Uncle Momentum was definitely in Rock Island's favor. This is something that will hopefully turn that around for Galesburg.
And, of course, the Rocks will have the wind with them on the second quarter. Here's the snap. The Streaks get away. Get the block by DeVina. Picks it up at the 30. Now scoops it up at the 20, and it'll be down there in the Streaks with a huge block.
Go!
On the punt.
Why'd they call the
Hunter DeVina? And now he's going to run downfield and score, but the officials are still standing back at the 30-yard line talking things over.
I think we got an inadvertent whistle, guys.
This has to be
a
touchdown. You cannot. It's not like a punt. Or excuse me, it's not like a kickoff.
So they're going to call an inadvertent whistle, I'm telling you, and we're going to have the football.
Have the ball.
But that's terrible. That's a mistake that these officials should not make.
Yep. So the referee is coming over to the sideline. He's going to talk things over with the Streaks coaching staff. Mike Washabaugh saying, I'm right here. I'm the head coach. I'm right here. I'm right here. Hunter DeVina came through. In fact, it was a break by the Streaks line altogether. And you're right, Jake. They're going to say inadvertent whistle.
Yep,
so Hunter DeVina's block and return for the block punt touchdown is not going to stand up. But the Streaks are going to have the ball in really good field position. And you talk about Uncle Momentum.
Gosh dang it.
You got to get your heads on straight here and calm yourselves down and
and
put it out of your head and just go back out there and run the offense. And Coach Wash takes a moment to gather the team and huddle up on the sideline. As the referee is over, talking things over with Ben Hammer, the head coach of the Rocks, who's not very happy on the far side of the field.
I don't know what he has to be unhappy about. This call is very, very favorable for Rock Island because that's a score, and nobody's going to tackle Hunter DeVina as he scoops that thing up. So this is a bad deal, but the Streaks do get the football here. They are in plus territory. and hopefully they can make it a moot point here.
So the ball will be at the Rock Island 25-yard line. And the streak set up in the wishbone. So not a blocked return, a blocked punt return for a touchdown, just a blocked punt, and the streaks take over at the 25.
He kept it.
And rather, Legate on the keeper to the near side and steps out of bounds across the 20 to the 18-yard line. Good play fake to Kyron Leith up the middle, and it allowed Legate to get to the outside and pick up eight.
Well, Jake talked about it many times in our first series about the give. So there we had a pull. You know, they bite on the give. He pulls around the outside and gets a few yards.
Yep, running veer option to the short side of the field. And as he gave it eight times in a row, you keep it the ninth, and it's usually a good thing.
Out of the bone, handoff to the right side with a quick handoff, the quick give across the 15, and then pushed backwards on the forward momentum. Leith never did go down, going man-to-man against Travis Thomas, but the officials blew the play dead, and the forward progress by Leith gives the streaks a first down across the 15, close to the 13.
Are they calling that a first down? Are they moving?
Oh, okay. That was a very favorable spot, so we'll take it. They should
spot
be
right at the 14.
They should be favorable to us after the inadvertent whistle.
Yeah.
First down, Silver Streaks from the 14. Handoff left, bouncing through. Good hole by Leith. Picks up a few more, stops short of the 5 at the 6-yard line, and he'll pick up 8, and it'll be second down for the Streaks with 6 yards to go for the end zone to tie this game up with 4:20 and counting in the first quarter.
Kyron Leith continuing to run the football very, very hard. Just a low center of gravity. He is a hard tackle.
Tree trunks for legs.
Out of the wishbone again. Handoff.
There he is again.
Close to
score.
The goal line. Got the touchdown. Just rolls over a couple of linebackers all the way into the Rock Island end zone to pull the streaks within one. 4:08 to go in the opening quarter.
And that's going to make a lot of people feel better, right? Even the officiating crew, I think.
Yeah.
Knowing
more
a mistake,
than anybody.
Yeah, knowing that a mistake was made, the streaks score and make it a moot point. And the streaks are going to line up. This is a little different formation
muddle.
Here
yep.
in their muddle. They got three over the football in the middle of the field. They've got three individuals wide left, three wide right.
Well, when the officials hold the ball there, they can adjust all they want to.
And we're going to go for two here. They like something that they see.
Straight snap, straight up the middle.
He's in.
And drags his man into the end zone for the two-point conversion. As coming up from the near side, Travis Thomas got a hand on him, and Legate just pulled him right across the goal line for the two-point conversion.
Guys, we never really talked about this, but the reason they line up in many different formations for the PAT is it's all about math. It's all about numbers, and they're trying to see if they have a numerical advantage somewhere. And so they line up. The coaching staff tells them what they want to do. And in that case, you know, listen, Tristan Legate is a big boy. He's a heavy individual, and Coach Wash talks about him being weight room strong, and he proved it right there.
8-7, the Streaks take the lead, a four-play scoring drive. Legate started it off with a 8-yard run, and then it was Kyron Leith with a 6-yard run, and then Legate's 2-point conversion run with a snap and straight up the middle, and the Streaks now lead 8-7, and see if they got some momentum back on their side now. Especially after having the touchdown waved off due to the inadvertent whistle on the blocked punt by Hunter Davina, which is an early Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time play of the game candidate. 4:08 to go. No freshman game tonight, again, due to COVID protocol in the Rock Island program. So we started, about a minute after 7 o'clock tonight. John Wren has the ball teed up at the 40. Again, the wind at his back for 4 more minutes of this opening quarter. And down the middle, Brozovic taken at the 8. Now trying to run left. Gets across the hash mark to the 30. Up to the 35. Tripped up just short of the 40-yard line where the play comes to a stop. And Rock Island into the wind for 4:01 to go here in the quarter with the Streaks leading by 1.
That's something that they're going to have to take a look at upstairs. And he tripped up over, I think, his own guys.
I think so, too.
And certainly now here on 2 kick returns, we may want to think about looking at the squib or something hardened on the ground right now, because these are very good run backs for the Rocks. And if we have to kick the other direction,
right,
that's going to be a real problem.
Yeah, either way. Either back's going to be able to return the ball well.
Yep.
Again, their opening drive when they scored started at the 45. This one from the 40. Out of the gun, handoff to Rogers, the right side. Stutter steps at the 45, crosses to the 50, and he'll have a first down taken down just across midfield into Galesburg territory on a pickup of 11.
Did they pull on that, Jake?
It doesn't look like it. They caught. I don't know if maybe we were
did.
In a stunt. Did they?
No, they pulled both guards.
Okay.
But it was not a sweep at all. It was an inside run play.
They got bounced because I think our edge rusher got washed inside.
Yep.
Rodgers averaging just under 100 yards a game through two to start the season. Picks up 11 there. Pass goes to the far side of the field, complete to Cole Rusk. Gets to the outside in the first down territory, all the way down inside the Gillsburg 30, where he's taken down at the 29 for a pickup of 20.
I think we almost had that ball knocked down at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, very close.
Yeah, kind of caused for a wobble to come out. Cole Rusk is a large individual, very, very similar body type to Hunter Davina, and he moves just as well.
Saw him in the football basketball season, rather, and very effective here in the football early portion of this game with 3:39 to go in the first quarter, and flags as the Rocks have moved it down to the Gillsburg 29-yard line. Official picks up the ball.
False start. He signaled a false start, but I certainly didn't see much. I mean, the official was still standing around the ball, wasn't he, Jake?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I was kind of cutting behind the players here to get to the other side. So,
fourth penalty on Rock Island, 25 yards, 3 5-yarders, and a holding penalty. So first and 15, straight drop back by Reese. Across the middle of the field, over the hands of Coleman on the far side, and then off the hands of Brozovic downfield, incomplete.
You know, Coach Washbaugh talked about it at the beginning of the game here in your pregame interview. They are a shot offense. They're going to run those bubble screens. He said they're a screen and shot, and that's what we've seen so far tonight. We've seen the screen play a lot, and we've seen these deep balls, and hopefully our DBs stay up to the task.
Well, Ben Hammer comes out of the Peoria High School program, where he was an assistant coach. Screenplay, pass complete to Rodgers. Open field, up the middle, first down territory, and more. Skips past a runner, downfield, going for the goal line, tackled there and in for the touchdown. Well, there's that speed to space that you talked about early on, Sean. They just got him out there in open field, and Rodgers just took it and went, dodged, ducked, dived, and took it all the way for the touchdown, 34 yards.
Very shifty out there, right? We talked it screens and shots, and you know the screen play is a shot play. Really, it's designed. It usually gets nothing at all, or it gets big gains like that. And Rodgers is going to be a tough task for the Streaks tonight.
Reese, meanwhile, on that catch and run, has already thrown for 98 yards. That's the first touchdown pass of the night, and the
good
kick is good. So Rock Island regains the lead. Sorry, second touchdown pass of the night for Reese. And that makes it 14-8 Rock Island, 3:10 to go opening quarter here at Rock Island Public School Stadium. Chance to thank our sponsors here on WGIL for providing our transportation anytime we hit the road, including to the Quad Cities here tonight. Second opportunity to enjoy the vehicle provided by Gillsburg Nissan. And boy, do they have some exciting things going on with the grand opening of the new pre-owned auto center at 1687 North Henderson Street. The car care detail shop is moving to that location, and lots of exciting things. Check them out starting Monday. That's Monday at the new pre-owned auto center for Gillsburg Nissan at 1687 North Henderson Street, right next to Arby's. And tonight, traveling in a 2019 Rogue Sport SL all-wheel drive, list price just under $26,000. And, of course, Gillsburg Nissan, home of the lifetime warranty, too. Best deal around.
Yeah, it had just under 13,000 miles on it and all the buttons and bells and whistles that you could ask. I couldn't figure things out on it. So you know that it's got the technology that you need and all kinds of cameras and stuff. When I was backing out of my driveway, it was a nice vehicle to drive and got us down here nice and safe.
Well, we got a shootout here early on, fellas.
Yeah.
Four plays, 61 yards. The Rocks took only 51 seconds off the clock. 34-yard touchdown pass from Eli Reese to Marion Rodgers. And it was really more of the catch and run. So Campbell with the ball teed up, high into the wind. Egyptiaco waits under it, drops it, picks it up at the 23, now runs into open space, has room to run on the far side, to the 40, to the 50, crosses over into Rock Island territory and knocked out of bounds by the kicker Campbell at the Rock Island 41-yard line. Boy, how many times do you see it
yep.
when the receiving end, when the team drops the ball, and then the coverage gets too far downfield, and when the returner can recover it and then run with it, and that's exactly what happened as Egyptiaco got into the open field.
Well, the coverage team also starts to squeeze in. They see the ball on the ground. They start to squeeze in a little bit. Then they lose the contain on the outside, which is exactly where he ran the ball. So nice return. Good starting. Good field position for the Streaks.
So it's going to be that kind of night, huh?
It could be. And usually when a night you get like this with offenses doing their thing, it comes down to a big play, usually a turnover.
Streaks with the ball at the Rock Island 42. Handoff left to Leith. Spun around. Still moves the pile forward across the 40 to the 39. Good hard run of three there on first down by Kyron Leith.
One of the things I want to talk about with Kyron getting a lot of carries here so far tonight was something I mentioned last week, and that was that we need to see him continue to emerge as a running back. That way we're able to rest Cannon Klein and Damian Thomas on the sideline because they're a defensive player. So it's great to see Kyron getting the carries here, putting in the yards. And he's going to continue to get more of that. He's on the sideline now. We've got a different offense going out.
Yeah, it's a 10th straight or the 10th traditional rushing play of the night for the Streaks, and Leith has carried it 8 of those 10. And now Alex Egyptiaco carries it for the second time tonight, up to the 36. And the Streaks face 3rd and 4 coming up after a pickup of another 3.
Kyron comes back in, as does Damian Thomas. Looks like we're going to go double tight end wishbone.
Certainly smells of veer option here.
Veer keep to our side.
Out of the wishbone, Rock Island jumps at the line of scrimmage. Yep. The flag comes down, and the Streaks are going to get a first down by penalty here.
That makes it easy.
It does. You know, I don't know what they're trying to do. I mean, why the guy would jump up there. Really, he wasn't trying to blitz. He was doing the hand thing. We're just trying to shoot his hands and make his jump off sides. And he went too far. And we got called on that 2 weeks ago in Geneseo, didn't we, for simulating a snap call?
Correct.
That's right.
I've been watching in the last couple of snaps that you'll see the D-line trying to do some stemming, usually trying to do it right at the snap.
First down from the 31. Handoff. Last man through is Alex. Across the 35, across the 25, and a good hard run to the right down to the 22-yard line by Alex Egyptiaco. He'll be a yard short of the first down.
Good chance here for a shot play of our own. You know, when you got 2nd and 1, that's in the playbook. That's always some coaches like to give it a shot here. The Streaks don't look like they're going to do it as they stay double tight and big in the backfield. Here comes Cannon Klein running on late.
Yep. And he'll line up in the slot right out of the I formation with a minute to go in the opening quarter. Right up the middle, and Rock Island reads it, stopping Alex, then trying to drag a defender forward, and he's still going to be taken down short of the initial line of scrimmage. And it's going to bring up
third and short.
And about a yard and a half now.
Yeah, they had good penetration right where the hole we were trying to run through, causing Alex just enough to move his feet and shift a little bit, and at that point then the defense was able to rally.
No gain for Alex. Maybe a good spot. 3rd and 1, up the middle. Streaks look pretty close to getting it here. They had to get to the 20 for sure. And once we unpile the players,
they're calling it
might
first
be a little bit. Oh, are they? All right.
Yep. Well, the official on this side has the one finger in the air.
Well, the nose of the football is across the hash mark. Yep, he's just going to eyeball it and whistle the first down.
That looks good.
You know, that's something I've seen in the past few years, or at least since we've been up here doing this.
I agree.
There aren't many measurements.
Not anymore.
They just move.
You're right, there isn't. They just want to, if it's close, they're just going to eyeball it. Coaches used to be able to request for measurements, and I haven't really seen that happen. I don't know, maybe that's something we don't want to resurrect, you know, to kind of keep the game moving along.
Down to 15 seconds to go in the end of the quarter here with a 14-8 Rock Island lead, maybe the last play of the quarter out of the I formation from the Rocks 21. Second handoff, and now Legate keeps it, gets hit from behind. The ball pops free at the end. It was a late whistle as Legate was clearly down. Rock Island calling for a fumble and a recovery. I thought Legate was clearly down, and I did not hear the whistle come in until late.
They're holding up 2.
They're holding up second down.
Yep. So it will not be a fumble, but it will be 2nd and 10 for the Silver Streaks as we get ready to start the second quarter. 14-8 Rocks after 1 at Rock Island on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Robert, there's water running down the stairs. Do something before it ruins all the carpeting and walls.
Too late, sweetheart.
Hi, folks. This is Neil Thomas with Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. Don't get caught off guard with a catastrophe like this. Sign up for our annual plumbing maintenance program. We'll do a complete inspection of all your plumbing as well as your sanitary sewer and give you the peace of mind you deserve knowing your plumbing is in good condition. Call us today at 342-HEAT for more details. You'll be glad you did.
I feel like it's a 54.
Nobody covers the Silver Streaks like 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIS. Galesburg Sports.
Flip the field after one quarter. Silver Streaks will have second and 10 just outside the Rock Island 20-yard line as we get ready to start the second quarter. 14-8 is the Rock Island lead. Brad Benowitz, Sean Hickey in the press box. Jake Miller, the extraordinary privilege of being down on the field in this beautiful April 2nd evening on Good Friday, Easter weekend. We appreciate you being with us. Will Stevenson, our broadcast engineer, is... We hope to see a little hippity-hoppity from the Silver Streaks here to get this lead back trailing
Jake?
By six.
Jake hopping down the sideline there like a little cottontail going along.
Doing my best.
Yeah.
Doing my best.
All right, out of the wishbone. Streaks line it up. First play of the second quarter. Hand off to the right side, and that one went nowhere. Play stopped immediately at the 20 on the handoff to Leaf. And now the Silver Streaks faced with a play into the wind on third and 10 now.
They're squeezing that give more now. As we do the outside veer, they're squeezing more on the give, which means what, Jake?
Well, and it means he needs to keep. He tried that on the play before, and it backfired too. We'd run counter is what we would do back in our day, seeing the triple option like this and all that flow towards that side.
Out of the gun, Legate rolling right. Has some time. Now the pressure starts to come on top. He throws. Looks complete up the sideline.
Nope.
But was he out of bounds? Nope, the ball popped free. Didn't
it? The ball was just a little bit late. The sophomore there, as he took about two more steps than he needed to. Dre was definitely open early. And throwing it late, the ball was on target, hit him in the hands, but it gave the Rock Island defender a chance to get there and meet him at the point of the catch.
Well, you got to go for it here. I mean,
certainly.
You're throwing the ball into the – or you're going into the wind, a 16-yard wind at kickoff. You're at the 21-yard line, too close for a punt, too far for a field goal opportunity in this wind. So the Streaks will go for it on fourth down. Legate looking left now throws across the middle, thrown behind the intended receiver, and then it falls off a Rock Island hand. Incomplete, and the Streaks give it up on downs.
Looking for Dre there on a little seam. We had three vertical routes running by our receivers. We had Cohen Derry out there, and looks like Tristan Hoven, I think, was out there as well on the route with Dre. Colt Rusk on the defense, and the Streaks are going to turn it over on downs.
So Tristan Legate, after a stellar offensive game last week, starts tonight 0-for-4 passing. And the Streaks trail by six, 14-8. Rock Island takes over at its own 21. Out of the gun, the quarterback Eli Reese on a keeper. Now options it back behind him to Rogers, trying to get to the outside. And the Streaks make the stop there just across the 20-yard line and push him backwards. It'll be a very short gain, if any, on first down.
Yeah, Damian met him well right there. You know, he strung it out, made him come back in a little bit and stood him up well.
Great pursuit. If you got your inside linebacker out there hitting the pitch player on the speed option, that tells you a little bit about his mobility out there sideline to sideline. The Streaks continue to come out in their 50 front.
Two wideouts to the near side, one to the top of the field on the right. Penetration in the backfield.
Jeremiah Morris.
And the stop made with a big penetration by Morris, and he stops Rogers in the backfield almost right as he took the handoff.
Fantastic little stun up front, just actually a little stem, and he took the inside route, and Rock Island offensively was not ready for it.
Ball spotted back at the 15 for a loss of six. So third and long for the Rocks here. 1-for-2 on third down in the early portions of this game. Straight drop back by Reese. Looking, now steps up in the pocket. Throws to the far side of the field. Man open, complete, across the 30-yard line. And I think he was in bounds, and that's enough for the first down.
That's a great job, the quarterback here, Eli Reese, of able to kind of avoid the pressure, step up in the pocket, and deliver the football on the run. The Rocks definitely have a plan for Hunter Davina tonight. He was blocked by a tight end there at first, and you saw the running back chipping as well. So it looks like he's going to have a tough go tonight.
goes as a gain of 17 on the completion to Cole Rusk. Now looking right, faking left, now running left. Reese, the quarterback, still with the ball, then dumps it off right to the tight end at the 36-yard line, complete to Kai Rios, and then he stopped immediately on the hit from behind.
Eli Reese, he's shifty.
He is.
And he's done some things tonight that we have not seen a player do. He's able to move to his left, dump that out to the right. Kenneth Klein was right there with contact, but he's able to get something out of the play.
Yeah, we had nice pressure up there. Hunter was able to get him out of the pocket, have him move in a little bit. But, you know, it's hard when you're playing a zone coverage. People will just sit in the zone.
Pass to the right, underthrown at the 36-yard line, will be incomplete.
No, I think they
complete.
They completed.
Did they call that complete to Rusk?
Yeah, he caught it.
All right.
He caught it. It was actually a good thing for us because I think he lost some yardage. If it was incomplete, would have been obviously back to the original spot. So another third down here for the Streaks, trying to find a way to get off the football field. We got trips to the wide side of the field.
I think they lost a yard on the play. So to the 36-yard line, out of the gun, Reese. Third down. Looking left, throwing
bubble.
It that direction quickly, caught at
nice
the 36-yard line.
That's
the option to the left side on the little toss, and the officials stop it immediately in the grass back at the 35-yard line as Perry Slater trying to pitch it out to Akers, I think that was.
Trying to make a play.
Goodness. Yep, I don't blame him.
I tell you what, it was close. Sean, I'm sure you can check the replay on
that. I'm looking at it, yeah.
But the official right on it, calling it a forward pass. Now,
Cameron Aguirre, I think, was on the stop, was he not?
Cameron Aguirre was on the initial stop. He got off his block. Is there an illegal forward?
No, he was down. They called him
down.
They
just call him down right away.
Okay. Yeah, the replay showed he was behind, so it was a lateral.
Yeah, we'll take it.
It goes as a gain of only a yard, and now Rock Island will punt with the wind behind.
Our returner better back up.
I agree.
8 minutes to go in the half. Streaks get the pressure on.
Block
get
again.
The block again. And this time the Streaks will recover it inside the 30-yard line down to the 27. And it looked like Hunter Davina recovered it again.
Well, they actually got the whistle correct this time.
Yep.
Well, and, you know, when you guys were pointing out that we weren't deep enough to receive the punt, I've got to believe that the Silver Streaks, as much as they have been bringing it on the punt tonight, saw something in their scouting that they knew they could, because that's two in a row now.
Well, gentlemen, I'll tell you, we rushed four guys on that.
Right, so they weren't bringing anything.
And three got through.
Yep.
I mean, how do you have a line of 10 guys and you only block one of them?
So the Streaks take over at the Rock Island 27-yard line. Trailing 14-8, second block punt of the night, and out of the wishbone. Pressure in from the left side. The Streaks hand off to the right, and that one doesn't go very far either. That one just looked like a mess right from the get-go.
Yeah, if I could say real quick, it looked like Jordan Payne was on the block.
Yeah, lots of penetration here by Rock Island. Rock Island selling out on the run, daring us to throw the football here.
Especially into the wind now,
into the wind, and, you know, sophomore quarterback. If I'm Rock Island, I'm going to say he has to beat us. Coach Hammer talked in his pregame interview about how the Streaks run the football. And so right now, the Rocks with a whole bunch of guys in the box, eight of them.
Out of the gun, Legate. Back to pass, straight drop, looking, swinging it to the far side.
Aaron Carl,
20. And then nice low tackle made inside close to the 15-yard line as Darryl Woodson came up out of the corner spot and took him down.
And the chains are moving. We're going to call it a first down.
Boy, Legate hit him right on the run, right in the numbers, too.
Nice little crossing route. Aaron Carl was the tight end on the right side. And he runs a little crossing route through all of that commotion there, through all the linebackers that they have. Caught the ball on the left hash.
I can't see the ball from up here, Jake. Where is it? The 16?
16-yard line, left hash.
Goes as a gain of 11. First down, Streaks. Hand off to Alex. Found a hole up the middle. Comes out of it. Down inside the 5-yard line. First and goal, Streaks. A pickup of 12.
Yep, just a little ISO play there. Alex makes a nice little cut, put his right foot in the ground, and, you know, he gets his shoulders square. We've talked about it. He is tough to bring down as well.
Yeah, I think that play was supposed to go further to the outside of it.
Yeah, I think
he saw something else and cut it back. Nice read.
Gain of 12 for Alex on first down. First end goal, Silver Streaks inside the 5 at the 4. Trying to go to the right side, and that one runs into a wall. And then pushed backwards, Alex Egypciaco again. And did he even get back to the line of scrimmage that
time?
Yeah,
he's going to lose one here. We're going to be back at almost the six-yard line. And nothing going there on the right side. The Streaks tried to run off tackle, and the Rocks are pursuing heavily. You got to do things that can counter that pursuit.
Legate comes up under center on second and goal. Trying to cross from right back to the left up the middle, and that one doesn't get very far for Kyron. He might have gained a yard back.
Looks like they spotted the five there, Jake.
Might have.
They get about a half a yard back, and they're running veer option there. And you know, we talked last week, there are no wrong answers, but there are better answers when you run the option. Tristan Legate certainly will. When we look at the film, he'll see that the keep was there.
Two down territory for the Streaks here. Third and goal from the Rock Island 5. Going to the right side, Legate on
just
the keeper,
like
tucks it in and takes it to the corner. But a flag comes down right at the end of the play, and we're going to have a holding call right on the goal line.
Yeah, they're going to get perimeter blocking out here. Streaks aren't very happy about it. They certainly disagree. But there's going to be a holding penalty called in the end zone.
Because there was no reason for that at all. Legate could have crawled into the end zone. So that's going to negate the tying touchdown with 5:27 to go in the half. And it'll take it back to the 10-yard line.
I don't know if you saw it, Jake, but it was very clear.
Yep.
So replay third down.
And like Brad said, unfortunately unnecessary. I mean, you don't know that when you're out there in the midst of battle, but you're right. Legate had a clear path to the end zone.
Legate out of the gun. Third and goal from the 11. Rolling right. He's going to keep it. No, he's going to throw it back across his body.
Touchdown!
And the Streaks have caught it. The Streaks have caught it. Hunter Davina on the deflection straight up into the air. Dove forward, hauled it in, and the Streaks have tied the game.
Sometimes it's better be lucky than good, boys.
It works out sometimes, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Legate was not throwing to Hunter Davina. He was trying to hit Aaron Carl, and the ball goes off of his hand or the Rock Island defender's hands. And you know, I also was worried he was going to step out of bounds before he threw it. But certainly we'll take it. All right, and we got a tight score, and the Streaks line up in the same formation that they were last time. They decided to go for two this time. We're going to put the PUD, as we called it, or the PAT block down. It looks like he's going to kick a traditional PAT.
We'll give the Streaks a lot of credit for coming back after what could have been a devastating penalty that negated a touchdown. The kick by Wren is up and across the crossbar, and the Streaks regain the lead. 15-14, 5:06 to go in the first half at Rock Island on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Right there where that giant tree is, that's where I want the garage. And then I want the sidewalk to wind around where those bushes are.
Need site prep, foundation, or concrete? Call Courtright Construction. They understand how pivotal those beginning tasks are. Give them a call for your next project. Courtright Construction of Oneida.
Remember winter. Were your windows drafty? Is your storm door ready to let the spring breeze blow in and let the light shine in? With top quality energy efficient brands, RP Lumber can fit your style into your budget. Find your nearest location at rplumber.com. RP Lumber. Enjoy the view.
Stay connected with local news headlines in your email inbox with the WGIL Morning Brief. It's free. Subscribe now at WGIL.com.
Sixth place scoring drive by the Silver Streaks. Don't forget the blocked punt that helped set it up. Second blocked punt of the night for the Silver Streaks. Yeah, sets up both of their touchdowns. 11-yard touchdown pass. Legate's second completion of the night. This one to Hunter Davina for the touchdown. In fact, both of his completions on that drive. And the extra point by Wren makes it 15-14 Silver Streaks with 5:06 to go here in the first half.
Looks like we got something funny going on here.
We're switching guys around. You know, interesting the pattern this game. You know, each game kind of takes its own unique pattern. And, you know, we see on both sides of the football where the offense gets stopped one series and then scores the next. They get stopped one and score the next. Hopefully we break that trend, as this would be Rock Island's turn to score.
Makes for some exciting football, certainly, when you get the back and forth that way.
Kick it away from nine, which we did.
And taken at the 14-yard line on the opposite field. Good open field tackle downfield.
Beckham.
As Beckham gets in there. Beckham in on special teams, also playing out of the secondary for the Silver Streaks defense with the injury to Grant Ayton. Beckham shows some athleticism, sprinting downfield and preventing a big run back there.
Yeah, this returner liked to he was trying to get the edge, right? He likes going up the middle, which is much harder to defend. This one trying to sprint around, and the Streak's able to use their athleticism to stop it.
Yeah, and who knows about what type of return they set up. They maybe had a left return.
Here comes Jet. Yep, going to go left to right, trying to get to the outside. The stop made short of the 25-yard line. The drive starts at the 25, so it goes as a loss of a yard unless they give him a favorable spot back at the line of scrimmage.
Jake, you know one of the things that destroys Jet is penetration.
Yep.
Hunter got penetration and forced the guy back in and made the tackle.
You always want to run Jet to the wide side of the field if you can. The benefit to the Streaks is that's where Hunter DeVito usually is.
Second and 10.
That play was outstanding. He cut him in and made a tackle.
Out of the gun. Play fake. Pass thrown right with pressure. Slipping a tackle on the far side and then taken down across the 30 to the 31-yard line. Complete, I think, to Brozovic on the far side.
Yes, Brozovic.
Was it 9?
I believe so.
Goes as a gain of 6 for 3rd and 4. At the 31-yard line. Quarterback Eli Reese, 121 yards passing on the night now. Out of the gun again.
It worked.
Shift at the line.
Now, let's see what they do here.
Yep.
Gets dropped.
At Geneseo, we tried to stem on 3rd and short, 4th and short, and they called us for simulating the start of the snap, but they're going to get Rock Island here. We stemmed, and it caused their offensive line to kind of alert, and you saw a butt kind of jump up in the air. I don't know who it was.
Well, I saw it on the right side, which is, you know, I was confused because it was on our side over here, which would be the left side of their offensive line. The side judge threw the flag on it.
So big opportunity again for the Silver Streaks defense here on 3rd and almost 10. Reese under pressure.
Flag
down in the backfield. Reese rolling right just as he's going out of bounds, throws it downfield. And the only man there for the Silver Streaks is Raheem Spinks, who just lets it drop. And let's see what the flag is back at the 20-yard line.
Holding
against Rock Island.
So this is an interesting decision here, right?
He can take it. They declined it right away.
Okay, not interesting. He's going to, you know, you either get a 3rd or 20 or you make it 4th and 10. I certainly would have made the same choice. Coach Washbaugh was.
And here comes the punt team.
Yep, very clear to make it 4th and 10.
Yeah,
and
look at what we've done the two times that they've punted.
Exactly.
You get the ball out of Rock Island's hands, you keep it out of their hands.
No doubt.
Silver Streaks with a 1-point lead, 3:45 to go here in the first half. They got a different punter in now. It's going to be Cole Rusk back there.
He could run
bigger.
This.
Gosh, would you do it this deep in your own territory? He is going to step right and kicks it away, an end-over-end kick to the far side, and it bounces out of bounds, and the Streaks are going to get positioned near midfield.
Yep.
Right at their own 48 with 3:45 to go in the half. Lots of time as they force a 3-and-out on Rock Island.
Lots of time and lots of timeouts. I don't think looking up at the scoreboard, it shows that we have a full complement of timeouts, which is 3 per half. The Streaks haven't used them yet, and 3:45 is plenty of time.
And, Jake, looking at the flag, I know you're down on the wind. Has the wind let up at all?
No.
Okay. The flag looks like it is.
Yeah, no, incorrect.
And that punt, he didn't get the punt up in the jet stream. So
right.
I think it's cool. It's getting a little bit better for you down there.
Okay, I'm glad you think that. That is your opinion.
Yes.
Yeah, up here in the nice shielded press box.
You guys probably have layers off up there.
Oh, we're sitting back in our easy chairs drinking hot chocolate.
Yep.
First down for the Streaks, short of midfield. Spinning around, Legate throws it to the far side, and it's complete at the short of the 50. And Alex runs it across the 50 down to the Rock Island 40. As Tristan, did he spin twice when he came out with that snap? He certainly spun after the second one, and he just turned, and Alex came back for the reception and picks up 12.
The defender was right in taking him as he came through, but then he left him to move on to Tristan, and that left Alex wide open.
So 3 straight completions for Tristan Legate now after starting the game 0-for-4, and he drops back again with an empty backfield, throws it on a crossing pattern and overthrows Carl a little bit, pass thrown high, and he bats it down. It'll be 2nd down.
2 straight pass plays here for the Streaks. I certainly get what they're doing. They have to soften this Rock Island defense if they're going to be successful running the football. And we know we can do it. This isn't just to show the pass. We can be successful doing that as well.
Well, the Streaks have some bigger targets this year than they've had in recent years with Carl and Derry out there.
And DeVita.
And, of course, your all-conference leading receiver, Dre Egyptiaku, who drops one short of the 30-yard line as he was open. got downfield and then came back for it. Would have been close to a first down, but he drops it incomplete. Third and 10 streaks.
That ball was on time. That was perfectly on time. The ball was a little up and out. Dre, certainly athletic enough to make that play. He's a little upset with himself right now.
Well, that's where you want that throw. That way, if the corner is making a break on the ball, you want it outside where he cannot get to it.
So third and 10 streaks. 3 for 5 on third downs tonight. Straight drop back. Legate, pump fake left, throws back across the middle, deflected, and then Davina falling for it. Can't reel that one in. That would have been a first down inside the 30, close to the 25. And now the Streaks do have to send the punt unit out at the 40. Plenty of room to kick the ball.
The Streaks all through the air on that series.
Right.
And the unfortunate effect of all through the air is that you don't run a lot of time off the clock. So now Rock Island will get the football back here with 3 minutes plus and also a full complement of timeouts.
Only 33 seconds in response to your comment there, Jake. That's all they took off.
Not just an English teacher, ladies and gentlemen.
Using his fingers and toes.
So Davina standing at his own 45.
Snap is good.
And a line drive kick to
good
the right.
Kick.
Good strategy to get that one down under the wind as much as possible. Taken on a scoop at the 10. And then up to the near side is Rusk. Has some room to run up the near sideline. Still room to run, and now he's going to take it all the way. A diving attempt by Davina. That was the last chance.
Flag.
And Rusk takes it all the way. But, there it is. You're right.
26.
Did not see the flag, but you're right, Sean, all the way back at the 26-yard line.
We also got a Streaks player down here on the sideline. Can't see it.
I'm looking for the white hat. So are the officials who dropped the flag back there. So they're going to converge somewhere short of midfield and talk this one over. Streaks will be very, very happy if this one gets called back. You've got to
believe
it. Here's
the coach at midfield. He needs to get back where he's supposed to be.
And he's all the way out there, right, at midfield. The officials still haven't even made the signal yet.
Don't normally see
that. And now Mike Washabaugh is walking out there going, hey.
Absolutely.
What's going on here? And they wave him off. So they tell Coach Wash to go back to the sideline while Coach Hammer stays out at midfield with the officiating crew, who's still talking things over.
Guys,
we still don't have the signal from the white hat.
I think it's Dre. I still can't see the numbers.
Now, you're not – Jake, you're talking about the injured player.
The injury, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yep.
He's up. It does look like it's Dre Gypsyako.
Yep, it is.
And it's a knee that is being favored right now.
And we've got one of the black hats out on the officiating crew pointing back Rock Island's direction. We just see the hands, the gestures as they're talking. Now here comes the referee, and he comes over to talk to head coach Mike Washabaugh. So we still don't have a signal from the referee yet.
And their coach is still coming on the field.
Now he's walking all the way over, and now he got one of the officials telling him to get back. All right, so let's see. The referee having the discussion with Coach Wash. 2:53, by the way, is where the clock is stopped. 15-14 is the Galesburg lead. And now Coach Wash and one of the officiating crew members pointing down toward the Rock Island end zone, which is where they were receiving.
I don't understand the discussion. What is this?
So I have a headphone
out.
Go out
there.
I'm trying. I don't want to get in trouble.
Letting everybody else out there.
I'm a rule follower. Yeah, everybody else is out here. You'd think I could go too. What I can tell you is it looks like the touchdown is coming back.
I just don't get the discussion. You either decline it and you give a touchdown, or you bring it back.
Well, wouldn't you at least indicate what the flag is for and then have the discussion? We still don't even know what officially is, although now
the white hat is just pointing.
Not certain.
The referee is going over to talk to Rock Island head coach Ben Hammer, and he's, again, pointing back the direction where the flag came from, back at the 26-yard line. And understandably, Coach Ben Hammer is not receiving this news very happily.
Well,
Well, this would be good an opportunity to talk about what we got coming up at halftime, Sean.
Because, there you go.
Because you've got extra special guests this
out.
This week.
I don't know if I can talk that long, for how long is this taking. You know, coming up at halftime, as always, we have Principal Jeff Houston talking about, you know, our start of a new term, more students coming back. So we have that happening. We also have two spotlights this week. Mm-hmm. One spotlight going to be on Sarah Gray, the site coordinator for 21st Century Grant. And then Student Council sponsor Tammy Qualls talking about the things that Student Council has done this year, because they've been active all year, as well as what they have done once we've returned to school.
Well, I guess the good news is the head coaches know what the flag was for and what happened. We have no idea what the official call is.
No signal.
But it does negate the touchdown, and Rock Island will have the ball at... Where are they going to put it?
They're going to put it at about the 25-yard line here of Rock Island. So right where the flag was. So I don't know if they're giving the ball where the flag was or that's where the foul occurred. They should have marked it off. But here's the deal. It's still 15-14 streaks right now, and that's the good news.
So the Rocks have it at the 25-yard line with two of their – oh, no, they've got all three of their timeouts remaining as well. Reese on the option. Pitches it to Rogers, sweeping to the outside, trying to get some room to run, and he's tackled at the 35-yard line right at the first down marker, and the Rocks move the chains on the first play of the series.
I got a definition of the penalty from the booth next door. They said there was a hold and an inadvertent whistle.
A hold and
right
an inadvertent whistle. Okay.
So whatever they came up with, that was a solution.
First down. From the Rocky 35, handoff to the right side. A little delayed call. Rogers comes out of the middle and tackled short of the 50-yard line. It'll be another first down as he picks up 13. So back-to-back runs by Rogers, totaling 23 yards. He had five carries for 5 yards prior to these two little offensive bursts. Ball short of midfield now. Silver Streaks leading by one. 2:40 to go, first half. Out of the gun again. Fake handoff. Reese, pressure on the right side, steps up on the pocket and underthrown short of the 40-yard line on the far side, incomplete.
Aaron Carl just a little overzealous there, I think, and this quarterback is shifty. You're going to have to break down and really attack that back hip and force him to the inside as much as possible. Eli Reese, though, very good at avoiding the rush.
Well, he's shifty, like you said, yeah. You know, and when you think you have him, he kind of gives a little shoulder fake, and he's able to move and get outside of the pocket.
Second and 10, play fake.
Bubble.
Now the pass to the outside, man.
Uh-oh.
Open is not Rogers, and avoids a tackle in the backfield. Jacoby B. steps back to the inside, tackled at the Galesburg 40-yard line, right at the first down marker, move the chains again.
We talked about that right there. I mean, that's a bubble play to the wide side of the field, getting speed to space. When they put the three guys out there, we're only matching it up with two, so it's one-on-one for the blocking. And the guy, the receiver who catches the ball is able to get at least 8 to 10 yards on it.
Second reception of the night for Jacoby B., 32 yards on those two catches. Three wideouts, trips to the right, single man to the left.
Ball.
The middle, and the ball pops free on the intended handoff to Rogers, who comes back for it and recovers it at the 43-yard line. Second fumble by Rock Island, recovered by the Rocks both times. And a little extra activity between Rogers and Hunter Davina as he pops up off the field. Loss of 2, second and 12.
That was just an argument over a toy. like two kids would argue over a toy. They both wanted the ball.
Uh-huh. Well, you got to have a passion for the ball no matter what the situation is.
You got to applaud both of them.
Second and 12, rolling right. Good block in the backfield. Frees up Reese to throw it downfield, and he overthrows everybody. Ball falls incomplete at the 2. A good 7-8 yards beyond anybody.
It's on them. We have a flag here. I don't know what it was.
Looks like he did the kicking.
Number 2, when he went down blocking. Yeah, when he was blocking Hunter.
Oh, there's a flag. I lost the flag out there in the middle of the field.
It's in the R.
The yellow with the yellow of the Rock Island logo on the field.
Well, if you recall that last play, they're arguing over the toy, right? And so 2 comes up to block Hunter, and Hunter got rid of him, and then he kicked his leg up to try to slow him down. So they're still arguing over that toy. Okay, maybe we have another explanation, a flag, probably inadvertent whistle.
Well, as long as the Easter Bunny doesn't pass anybody over for this weekend, then, you know, they'll all be happy when it's all said and done.
Well, I mean, going back to the toy, it's, they both have passion for trying
sure.
to get that ball.
Yep. Yeah. So we're going to mark this off.
That's 15. A 15-yarder.
That's yep. what I thought. Again, I never saw the referee give the signal,
no,
but
I
had
either.
To believe that had to be a personal foul. So.
That's what I think. I have had to move to both sides of the field here. A lot of back and forth.
Back to the Rock Island. 36-yard line now. Third and long.
Screen.
And a screen play complete to Rodgers. They're going to get him in and open some space and see what he can do. And he gets tackled short of the 50-yard line. Good pursuit by the Silver Streaks to close off the middle and then surround in around him and stop him at the 48-yard line.
Looks like we're setting up here on a third and 17, maybe?
Third and a bunch.
It's a lot.
But with Rock Island's offense, I mean, this
right.
this Rodgers is as good as we've seen all year. And he's you know, get the ball into his hands. Obviously, Cole Rusk and as I guess, willing as they are to throw the ball downfield, it's a little scarier tonight than a third and 17 would have been in the previous 2 weeks.
Third and 21, according to the scoreboard, from their own 48. Rolling right, little bit of pressure. Reese gets it away to the sideline. And incomplete, I think, short of the Galesburg 40-yard line. Would have been short of the first down.
And out comes the punting unit for Rock Island. But in a position, wow. gentlemen, where they might want to run a punt safe here. Certainly a position where, especially if Rusk is back there doing the punting, that they're in a spot where they might try something a little tricky.
So 52 seconds to go in the first half, with the Streaks leading by one. And the ball short of midfield at the 48-yard line. And let's see what Rusk does. Scoops it up off the turf.
Locked again.
And then a bad kick. Was it deflected,
yep.
or was it just off his foot? Rock Island picks it up.
The ball's Hunter
dead.
Davina blocked that.
Yeah, well, what's
Acres, going on?
Acres picks it up short of the 50-yard line and then runs it all the way down the field. I don't really
that cannot
know.
Be their ball.
No, it can't.
The guy back here is standing at the 48.
Well, the clock has stopped with 37.9 seconds, but the Streaks going into the wind, whether the ball's close to midfield or not, that's not anything they're interested probably in
trying
to make something. Why are they going to put the ball? Why is the ball down here inside the 10-yard line? Why is the ball at the 7? Mike Washabaugh's out begging for an explanation. Did the Streaks not get a hand on that ball? Whether they did or not, it was a horrible kick. Rock Island's Terrell Akers picked it up and ran it downfield. I don't know why the ball is sitting at the 8-yard line.
The ball was blocked.
And the Streaks have called timeout because Mike Washabaugh does not want them to snap this ball without an explanation why Rock Island still has the ball.
This officiating crew has lost
control.
All control.
And
ladies and
Coach
gentlemen.
Wash is getting his players off the field. He's saying, get over there. He wants to talk to the officials. And they will not come over, and now they're telling him to get off the field.
No, they're calling him over.
All right, now they're calling him back. Well, Jake, you're getting your steps tonight.
Yeah, this is a mistake.
I don't understand this
The biggest
all.
Proportion, one I've probably never seen before. There's no way that they could advance a punt.
No.
Whether blocked or not.
Otherwise.
Guys, that's...
I don't know how much of any of this you can hear down there, Jake.
I hear a lot that I can't repeat.
I'm sure. But the gist of it is...
The gist of it is they're going to give Rock Island...
Yeah, the call's not going to change. I do not understand this.
I mean, between two inadvertent whistles,
I cannot think of any
first
situation.
Rough night tonight.
Wow.
I don't know how this happens, but it's happening.
So Eli Reese hands off to Rodgers, running left, stutter steps, tripped up short of the goal line. He'll be down at the 1, and Rock Island can stop the clock, and now they do with a timeout, although the clock still now it rolls down to 26 seconds and stops there. Well, We're going to try to get this cleared up before we go to a break at the half. And Jake, we're going to rely on you.
There's nothing to clear up. I don't know. I mean,
I can't clear it up.
The replay looked like it was blocked, even if it wasn't blocked.
Right.
You don't take a bad punt and all of a sudden return it.
That's what I said. I can't think of a situation where they would possibly be able to have that ball back. I mean, obviously, if the ball is punted and the receiver drops it, but that's not at all what happened.
They broke the huddle with 12.
26 seconds to go in the half. Rock Island trailing by one with the ball at the Galesburg one. Out of the gun, Reese. Hands off to Rogers. Tackled in the backfield, back at the five. And Rock Island will stop the clock with a timeout. Reed Hawkins among the players in there who made the stop. And the ball will be at the four with the clock stopped with 19.9 seconds to go.
You know, I tell you, with all the mess that's going on right here, officiating and otherwise, the Streaks just continue to go out there and play ball. And Reed Hawkins, the senior, just stepping up and making a big play when his team needs it. Here we go. We got now a third down.
Third and goal.
So Rogers gained six to the Galesburg one, lost three. Third and goal, back at the four. And Rock Island with one timeout remaining with 20 seconds to go, even if they don't get it in, and now the Streaks are going to call timeout.
Coach Washbaugh running down the sideline to get that timeout and just either didn't like what he saw, you know, whatever he was running defensively and however Rock Island lined up offensively, but he wants to talk to his guys one more time. Can't take the timeouts with you here.
Nope. Well, we have one, two, three, four coaches, five coaches out there, which is not supposed to happen. Outside of the numbers.
It's kind of like
you can get away with anything now after what they've done.
At this point, right.
Yeah, it's like they're going to throw a flag on us. It should be our ball going down and scoring here before we go into half.
And getting the ball back.
Rogers rolling, or rather Reese rolling right, throws it to the back of the end zone on man-to-man coverage. It's caught, but was he in bounds?
Touchdown. He was.
He was.
It was a great play.
There's a signal.
There's a reason that kid is a Division I receiver. He went up, caught the ball. I thought that ball was overthrown the entire time. He jumped up for it, caught it, got 1 foot down, which is all you got to do in high school football. Great play. Great pitch and catch.
Never should have happened.
Yeah, it shouldn't have happened. But it was a great pitch and catch. So if we're just talking about the kids making plays, that's what we saw.
So complete to Rusk for the touchdown of 3 yards. Third passing touchdown of the night for quarterback Eli Reese. And now Campbell in for the extra point with 15 seconds to go in the half. The kick, as you can imagine, with the wind behind him, plenty. And it's now 21-15. So I guess out of all of it, that's the one thing we could look at and go, well, there's still a whole half to go. It's a one-possession game, still 15 seconds that the Streaks can maybe return something, do something special. This just defies logic.
Uh-huh. That is as good an explanation, I think, as you can give at this point. I have absolutely no idea. You know, I'm sure Coach Washbaugh is not going to want to talk about this at halftime.
And rightfully so.
You
got to move on.
Right.
You play the next play.
I think that's the message. Certainly.
Well, I'm having a hard time getting past it.
Yeah. Right. And as invested as we are in these guys, I mean, you can imagine what the players and coaches are all feeling at this point. But we won't belabor the point. I'll certainly ask the question at halftime, and we'll take the answer, and then we'll move on and talk about what the Streaks can do as far as adjustments go, and we will get the football back here at the start of the second half. And we're only down 6 points.
Three plays, 7 yards. Took 17 seconds off the clock. Touchdown pass to Rusk of 3 yards.
Did somebody call timeout here?
Kind of looks like it.
Yes,
it?
Rock Island called timeout.
Okay.
Which just gives more opportunity for us to sit here and stew on things that were and should have been and maybe weren't. So
Alex Egyptiaco.
Cam McGuire with the injury to Dre Egyptiaco earlier. Although Dre is up, his helmet's on.
Yeah.
He's on the sideline. I think he was ready to go in, but they just said, hold on.
I did check on that. They do expect his return at this point.
Okay. So Aguirre and Alex Egyptiaco waiting for this kickoff at the 15. And I wonder if the Rock Island timeout, as much as anything, was just to calm the players down and tell them not to do anything stupid on this heading into halftime now that they've regained the lead. Or are they going to try something tricky? Wouldn't think so, but that's when you've got to most watch out for it. Campbell, straight up. Kick down the near side. Taken by Alex at the 11. To the 20. Up the middle to the 30. Crosses back to the 35.
Avoid
one tackle to the 40. And then across the 50 to the 45-yard line with 6 seconds to go. And a great run back by Alex Egyptiaco from the 11 into the Rock Island side of the field. They're going to mark him down, I guess, at the 48. Thought it was closer to the 45, but
yeah, certainly
Rock Island side of the field.
I certainly would have expected a squib kick there, anything but a traditional kick deep.
Yep.
Because that's the only thing that can hurt you. But, well, you know, the streak's now got to think, like, what are you going to do here? You do only have 5 seconds left. You do have one timeout. Do you want to show a trick play that you might want to keep in your pocket? The Rocks will play prevent with a lot of speed back there on the back half of this. So we'll see what we do. Dre Egyptiaco back out on the field.
So 5.8 seconds. Legate looking right. Throws to the sideline. Caught. Dre steps out of bounds with 0.8 seconds to go inside the 40. That'll be short of the first down. They're going to give him the first down.
Oh, they're
moving
the
chains.
Yep. Give him the first down. And,
stop the clock.
You know, into the wind. Tristan Legate, baseball player. Yeah, I know he has a strong arm. Throwing a football into the wind, though, is a little bit different story. You know, do you throw it up there for a Hail Mary? You do have Cohen Derry. You have Hunter Davina going down there.
Out of the gun, two wideouts left, two right, short drop by Legate. Now rolling right, he's going to step up, throwing it downfield into the end zone. Good throw on the run, and then falls incomplete into double coverage on Cohen Derry in the end zone. So take a shot, doesn't hurt. What hurts, though, is the streaks go into the locker room down six on a baffling call by the officials that gave Rock Island the ball after the streaks should have had it on a punt. And gave Rock Island the ball at the Silver Streaks 7. And they go to the locker room with a 21-15 lead. Sean's What's Good at Galesburg High School interview coming up at the half with Principal Jeff Houston, Sarah Gray of the 21st Century Program, and student council sponsor Tammy Qual. Streaks down 6 at the break on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Galesburg High School football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Tom Irons at Accounting Systems on South Simmons Street in downtown Galesburg and by Templeton Roofing. Call Templeton Roofing when your roof matters. Learn more at templetonroofing.com.
Staying at home more than you'd like these days? Let RP Lumber help you make your home your happy place. With our best service, best value promise, we can set you up with all the tools, hardware, and advice you need to spruce up your space. Find your nearest location at rplumber.com.
Easter is not just a time for chocolate eggs, new clothes, and the signs of spring. Easter is about the hope of new life through God's love revealed in a powerful, resurrected Jesus. I'm Pastor Vince Rohn from Galesburg First United Methodist Church. Join us Easter Sunday morning at 9 or 10:30 to hear about that hope. Join us in person at 120 North Kellogg Street or online at firstumcgalesburg.org. Let's find hope together at First United Methodist Church.
Exciting Silver Streak basketball and the exciting lineup of cars, trucks, and SUVs at Galesburg Nissan. From one end of the court to the other, we feature the most dependable and fuel-efficient dream team. Galesburg Nissan is home of the lifetime warranty. No gimmicks, no deductible, and no expensive service requirements. Plus, you get a free loaner car for life if your car needs to be in the shop. And every fifth oil change is free. We want to be your dealer for life, and we'll strive to prove it every day. Galesburg Nissan, home of the lifetime warranty, where you just can't buy a Nissan for less.
My name is Wayne Allen, 6th Ward Alderman for the City of Galesburg. One of the most important issues facing our city is the Lake Story expansion development. The landowners are very much against it. Nobody from the city has contacted them. The only thing that's been said is they'll come around. They don't want to part with their land, then I'm behind them 100%. As an alderman, I take my job very seriously, and I listen to the people in the district. I'm ready to continue to work for you, and I hope that you vote for me. Thank you.
Paid for by Friends of Wayne Allen.
The official WGIL forecast is brought to you by Justin Cook State Farm, providing great insurance rates on bundled auto, home, and life policies. Call today for the right policy and save money. Clear tonight, a low of 39. Sunny tomorrow, a high of 68. Clear tomorrow night, a low of 42. Sunny for Easter Sunday, a warm high of 73. Partly cloudy, 52 Sunday night. Monday, partly sunny with a high of 75. Currently, it's 42 at WGIL.
WGIL's coverage of Galesburg High School football continues with the Silver Streaks Halftime Report, brought to you by First United Methodist Church in downtown Galesburg. Find them online at umcgalesburg.org. Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL, Galesburg Sports.
Welcome to the Galesburg Rock Island Halftime Show. I'm Sean Hickey with this week's segment of What's Good at GHS. As always, we have Principal Jeff Houston, but this week's spotlight is on the 21st Century Club and Student Council. Let's start with the 21st Century and with site coordinator Sarah Gray. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So if you could tell us a little bit about 21st Century, what it does, how it was created and everything like that.
Okay, so the 21st Century is actually an ROE-based program, and we are grant-funded through Illinois State Board of Education, which our funding comes federally. So we provide all of the after-school programming for GHS students. We're talking the homework hub, so if kids need a place to come study after school, they come and see me. We have several clubs and activities that run and are done by our faculty here at GHS. So we kind of do a lot of different things. I'm in the school every day. I work with kids every day. And then I have faculty that is employed by me to do all the after-school stuff.
Sounds good. So you talk about every day. Will it be all 5 days of the week, or is it just a certain number of days?
So we run Monday through Thursday after school, so about 2:45 to 5 o'clock. We provide busing and snacks for students who are attending our programs. Several programs that are running right now are drama club, book club. We have an online gaming club, so they're playing video games after school. We have a coding club. We also do we'll go play basketball with Coach Harden. We will do art club with Mr. Ellison. So there's a lot of different activities for kids to do. And as always, if somebody has an idea that they want to see happen or something that they want to do on campus, we can do that too.
So if I were a student that was going to go to 21st Century, what would my afternoon look like when I got done with school?
Right. So we primarily serve 9th and 10th grade students. And students are either referred to us by teachers or counselors because they're struggling in school or have some grade issues or just need some more connections on campus. So they would come to us at 2:45. They would be with us until about 5 o'clock. We really work heavy on homework because that's what kids are struggling the most with right now. So from about 2:45 to like 3:30, we're doing homework, and then the kids can branch off to do the other activities and programs that we have every night.
Again, that was Ms. Sarah Gray for the 21st Century Club. For the second spotlight tonight, I have student council sponsor, Ms. Tammy Qualls. So I know that we're back in school. You have student council back meeting. Tell our listeners some of the things that you've been doing since the return to school.
Well, since we've returned to school, even before we returned to school, we were meeting weekly, having Google Classroom meets, and every morning, or once a week in the mornings. And we have had all kinds of members show up, which is really good that kids are still involved despite the pandemic that we have survived, right? And so we basically had a trunk or treat back in the fall. We served over 1,300 children who came through. We had such a successful time. The kids loved it so much they said, hey, maybe we need to do this instead of haunted high school. We had 39 decorated trunks, and it was a great time. Instead of our annual breakfast for our veterans this year, we had a bagged breakfast that people could drive through, veterans could drive through and pick up, and 34 different veterans came, and we took our remaining bags to veterans at a local nursing home, and the kids made cards for them and everything. So we've had lots of involvement even when we weren't back in school. Then after that, we organized an Operation Christmas Child is what it's called, and we had 49 boxes that we prepared to send to children in third world countries. Then we shopped for 29 different Angel Tree foster children in our community that we shopped for and wrapped presents and dropped off for them. We also decorated the extended high school campus. And when I say extended, it's kind of all over the place if you've been out here. Kind of fun. But we decorated to welcome students back, and then we had student council members serve as guides to help walk them around, which was great to transition back and see their faces. Even masked faces are better than virtual faces any day. And so then after that, we promoted a Spirit Week when we got to have our sports start back up, and so we had dress-up days, different days. That was fun. And probably our biggest event this year that we have done consistently, starting in January, is we started writing every student a letter and sending it to their mail at home. And so just telling them, encouraging them, telling them that they are valued and important to our community and to our school district and to our school, and that we look forward to seeing them. Kids have used quotes. They've decorated their letters. I mean, it has been just very touching to see how the student council members have taken this so seriously and written letters. And we will have every student from GHS and GHS North accomplished and mailed to by the end of April.
Now let's talk about the future. What do you guys have coming up with student council?
For our future, we are, of course, dependent on what the administration will allow us and our state, and, you know, trying to make sure that we have safety first for kids. But we do look forward to more interactions. We're hoping to work with the administration when the weather warms up and have maybe an outdoor type hoedown dance for the students, like an informal dance celebration of how we just hunkered down and made our education work through the challenges that we've experienced. We'd also like to help with the eighth grade recognition this year and maybe plan, instead of doing a guided tour like we usually do when we have eighth grade recognition, wait until the end of the summer, right before we're ready to come back to school, and have a guided tour for freshmen coming in and maybe even other classes, because, you know, our campus will look different then too, with locations of where teachers are and anything that we can do to make the student body feel more comfortable and be more successful is what we're about. So that's what we look forward to.
All right. Again, that was Ms. Tammy Qualls, the student council sponsor. Thank you so much for your time, Ms. Qualls.
Thank you for having us.
Now let's talk with Principal Jeff Houston. Mr. Houston, what exciting news events would you like to share with us from the past week?
Well, we've had Mr. Hickey, I'd like to share with you is we had about 152 students come back to campus. And, you know, they've come back and things ran pretty smoothly for us. And the kids are getting into the school in timely fashion. And, you know, we're just keep inching our way back to more normalcy all the time. And I think it's just healthy for everyone to get back and get involved. And some of our after-school activities are kicking off. You just talked to Sarah Gray about the 21st Century Grant. I know Tammy Qualls has also got some student council stuff already going. And so, yeah, we've got all these activities that are kicking up, and we're just keep inching more and more back to normalcy. The other thing that I want to talk about is that our Student of the Months are going to be recognized. We have Blaze Smith. We have Peyton Sheckler from Art. We have Alan Oaks from Counseling, Cameron Oaks from Counseling, Sophie Wignall from Science, Matthew Roach from Vocational, Tristan Legate from English Language Arts, Preston Freimeyer, Health, Brady Warren, World Language, Cole Warnsing, Social Studies, Jordan Perry, and Math. And it's a little bit different this year. Usually they get to have lunch with the principal. We get to sit down. I get to talk with those students and talk to them about climate and culture and some other issues and get their feedback. And that's been a little harder this year, of course, under our circumstances. So these kids are going to get they're going to get rewarded through Buffalo Wild Wings, Pizza House, Hungry Hobo, Dairy Queen. And so we appreciate all the sponsors that took care of our Students of the Month. And then we had recognition of our Spanish Honor Society last Sunday. kind of a neat ordeal. They celebrated 64 new members into the Spanish Honor Society. 29 of the inductees qualified last year, but we had our induction planned last year, and of course it was because of the pandemic, we had to cancel it. And so after 1 year of postponement, we were thrilled to be able to recognize these students for their academic achievements in Spanish.
And then we go into a four-day weekend and another four-day week. So with that, talking about a four-day next week, what are some of the highlights we have coming up?
Well, we've just got, there's really going to be a fairly light week next week. We've got our ZAPS ready to go, and that's our SAT prep seminar for the students, just a preparatory thing for SAT. And we're just really planning for already down the stretch, Mr. Hickey. I mean, we're talking about graduation, we're talking about our awards night, and it's just crazy that we're at this point already. And I think the weekend coming up is going to be nice weather, so families are going to be able to get together, and it's going to be it's just nice to have that feeling of comfort and knowing that we're getting, like I said, closer to back to normalcy.
All right, well, thank you. That's a wrap for this week's halftime show regarding what's good at GHS. Thanks again to GHS 21st Century Site Coordinator Sarah Gray, Student Council Sponsor Ms. Tammy Qualls, and Principal Houston for their time. Coming up next, we'll have halftime stats and second half action against the Rock Island Rocks on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Stay connected to what's happening in Galesburg. 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL, Galesburg's local news.
Early Friday morning, a Macomb man driving a Mack truck with a semi-trailer was killed in a one-vehicle accident in Warren County. Illinois State Police have identified the deceased as 57-year-old Doug E. Hill. Police's preliminary investigation revealed that for unknown reasons, Hill left the roadway to the right and overturned in the east ditch just before 6 a.m. Friday. Hill was traveling north on U.S. Route 67, just south of 90th Avenue in Warren County. He was pronounced dead on the scene. State police say a 4-year-old Chicago boy died when a car rear-ended an Illinois Department of Transportation help truck along a freeway and caught fire in a Chicago suburb. Illinois State Police say the boy died at the scene of Wednesday's crash on the Bishop Ford Expressway in South Holland. The Cook County Medical Examiner's Office identified the child as William Collier. He was a passenger in a sedan driven by a 27-year-old Chicago man when it crashed into one of two IDOT trucks. I'm Cameron Line. Top stories at home, top stories from around the world. This is 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL, Galesburg's News.
News. I'm Rich Dennison. President Biden ordering White House flags to half-staff following today's death of a U.S. Capitol police officer after a driver rammed police and a barricade at the Capitol building.
The suspect is believed to be 25-year-old Noah Green from Indiana. Police say he rammed his car through a barricade outside the U.S. Capitol and into two officers. He exited his vehicle with a knife and charged at the officers. 18-year Capitol Police veteran Billy Evans was killed. The other officer was injured but is in stable condition.
Fox's Jessica Rosenthal, the suspect, was shot and killed by police. The government today reporting some positive news for job seekers.
Hiring picked up last month and was even stronger than expected. The Labor Department says there were 916,000 new jobs created and the unemployment rate declined to 6%.
Fox's Jenny Casola. America is listening to Fox News.
Silver Streaks Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. They'll hang the big hat up on the sign so you can see it. By Locks Roofing and Siding Incorporated. Tackle all your home projects with one call to Locks Roofing and Siding. And by Go Van Gogh's, the T-shirt factory at 237 East Tompkins Street in downtown Galesburg.
Today, with pictures and video and our ability to collaborate with the family,
someone's final goodbye can literally be anything they want it to be.
Mark and Tricia Thomas of Watson Thomas Funeral Home and Crematory in Galesburg.
Whether it's Harley Davidson, the St. Louis Cardinals,
fishing, quilting, singing, or family, we want to find out what your loved one loved.
And then we can create a personalized farewell that really celebrates their unique and wonderful life.
Watson Thomas Funeral Home and Crematory in Galesburg, celebrating life's legacy.
Having bad credit doesn't mean it's the end of the road for you and your car buying journey. In fact, there are many car buyers with bad credit who qualify for financing on both new and used cars through YEM's Credit Acceptance Program. This is Dustin Cardenas, the Cadillac guy at YEM. We partner with many lenders, including Credit Acceptance, to guaranteed credit approval. Whether you're on a fixed income, unemployment income, or you have multiple open auto loans or multiple repossessions, stop in soon and give us a chance to help with our credit acceptance program at YIM.
Look at that. Have you ever seen a more beautiful shot? I don't know if there's ever been a more beautiful shot, even with that blasted phone ringing in the background.
Sorry, sir. It's the people.
Yes, this is he. What? I'm being blamed? What about the wall? The wall of tires? And gas prices? That's not my fault either. We help you make sure your vehicle is running properly. Car-Mark Tire and Auto in Galesburg, where we're treading with excellence. Now that's gripping stuff.
Silver Streaks football on WGIL is brought to you in part by the UPS store on the corner of Main and Seminary in beautiful downtown Galesburg, and by Bradley Hicks, Century 21 affiliated. Morning, noon, nights, or weekends, Bradley Hicks will help you find your dream home.
Tune in for Markley Van Camp and Robbins, weekdays at 2 on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
21-15 is the Rock Island lead over Galesburg as we get ready to start the second half. Jake had a chance to catch up with Coach Wash. We're a little short on time, so we don't get the actual interview. But so, Jake, kind of work us through the explanation of that call and kind of Coach Wash's strategy on how to handle it.
Okay, so, well, the strategy on how to handle it, Coach Wash was very adamant about the halftime being about moving on and playing the game. They talked about adjustments, and it wasn't about, you know, bemoaning the bad break overall that the Streaks got there. So on the punt, Rock Island punts the ball from their own 48-yard line. We did tip the football. Hunter Davina, I believe, did get a hand on the football. The football then squirted forward. In the official's viewpoint, the football did not cross the line of scrimmage. If that is the case, if the football does not cross the line of scrimmage, it is a live ball. And at that point, then, the ball can be advanced. And to the official's viewpoint, that is exactly what happened. We have checked video. Of course, we have the ability to do that. The officials do not. But it certainly did not seem in the video evidence that the football stayed behind the line of scrimmage.
So on the replay, Alex Egyptiaco crosses the 30 and rotates back close to the 35-yard line, which is where the Streaks will begin the second half, trailing by 6. Quickly, first half stats. Streaks had 68 yards rushing. Rock Island, 43 yards on the ground. But the Rocks, 148 yards through the air. Eli Reese, 10 of 16 passing for 148 and 3 touchdowns. Tristan Legate, 4 for 12, 45 yards and a touchdown. Leading rusher on the night is Kyron Leith for the Silver Streaks with 10 carries, 49 yards. So the Streaks have it at their own 33.
Nice throw. Official throwing in the Galesburg ball to start the second half for us here.
Streaks coming out showing something a little different. We got twins to both sides of the field out really wide, Legate in the shotgun.
And throws it to the near side and underthrows Egyptiaco. The ball falls incomplete.
So in talking about the film, the video, we were able to look at the replay, and it showed that the on that punt play, the ball was snapped on the Rock Island 48-yard line, and they recovered the ball in the Galesburg 48. So it was on the other side of the ball, 4 yards beyond the line of scrimmage. So, you know, Jake was talking about how we have the ability to see the replay, but the officials don't. So they definitely missed that play.
Which is where the play should have then been blown dead. Because
Once it crossed the line of scrimmage, it is the first touch or the result of the play.
Right.
And so the first touch would have been on the 48.
Yep. The running play for the Silver Streaks, meanwhile, to the right side, stopped at the 36-yard line for a gain of 3. And it'll be 3rd and 7 for the Silver Streaks. So tested immediately here, coming right out of the gates here in the second half.
Yeah, we stay spread out here with our offense. We have trips. Nope. Moving over to
Coenderi switching from left to right, and now Davina comes in tight. Lining up tight end right side. Two wideouts to the left. Legate looking left. Now rolling left. Will have to throw against his body. Coming back for it and almost picked off, but caught. And
stopped
down right. Very close to the first down marker. Tristan Hovind came back for the catch.
Good concentration.
Yeah, and they're going to call it a first down. We'll take it.
Are they really?
Yeah. He was extremely extremely surprised by that bad football being it was right in his chest. The defender was right there. The defender going for the pick.
It was very close.
And it was simultaneous. And it just kind of, hey, you know, we're due some good luck here.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
So Hovind's first catch of the season up the middle. And not much there for the Silver Streaks. So Rock Island's defense responds, at least on the first play of this series. Call it a gain of...
Four?
Well, four, all right.
Yeah, we'll take it.
I spotted that better than I thought.
We'll take it. So now the streak's been in a lot of shotgun. They've been a lot of wide receivers, something a little different. We got one tight end in the I formation, Kyron Leith and Alex Egyptiaco behind the quarterback.
Out of Fear. The I.
Give.
And
yep.
off
Fear.
To the left. Another good run up the middle, earning yards at the end of the play to the Rock Island 45-yard line.
I don't know if
And Leith carrying runners again with him.
Excuse me. I'm sorry, Brad. I don't know if it's an adjustment they're making, but that was not Veer. That was off the inside butt of the tackle. Now, sometimes the football, you know, the runner gets a little thrown off his track, but that certainly resulted in a better play.
Gain of 8 for Leith. Hand off to the left side, room for Kyron. Runs over a linebacker at the 35, down to the 33-yard line. And the Streaks playing some inspired ball on the ground here. Coming out with a burst in the second half, a pickup of 11, and a first down to the Rock Island 33.
Well, one of the things we're seeing here, Jake, is some of the same stuff in the first half. But we're switching things up formationally.
Yep.
We're spreading them out a little bit and finding some areas where we could run those same plays with a defense that has softened up a little bit.
21-15, the Rock Island lead, approaching the 9.5-minute mark of quarter number three. First possession of the second half as Alex Egyptiaco runs right, crosses the 30, and maybe stopped right at the 30-yard line for a short gain of 3 on first down.
A little cross lead there where you'll see we got three running backs, and one will go one direction, and a couple will go the other, and it's about hiding the football and everybody carrying out their fake. It's just a very basic wishbone play. Resulted in a gain of just over 3 yards.
Leith 68 on the ground. Alex Egyptiaco with 40 now. Out of the eye. Hand off to the right side. Leith.
Yeah.
Held up on the jersey from the backside. Still on his feet and then pulled backwards. Gained a yard, maybe yard and a half. And it'll be third and about 5 for the Silver Streaks.
And we've seen that a few times tonight. We saw it last week, too, with some late whistles. Typically, when they're that late, they will favor the defense because you have a guy,
got a player down.
Because you pile them up and you start to push the pile back, and that's where balls will come out, fumbles will happen, and people get hurt. We have a lineman down here.
For the Silver Streaks.
Correct.
76.
Is that Jordan?
That's Jordan Payne.
Had the injury last week with his knee.
Yep, and looks like they're kind of working on the same thing here. Senior Ben Roan is going to enter the ball game.
Streaks will be back home next Friday night. Moline will come to town. I was trying to check. I think we were all trying to check Twitter at least a little bit during the half. Jake, successfully.
My fingers wouldn't scroll through my feed, so I'm going to leave that up to you guys. I did not check a single score.
You mean your icicles?
Yeah.
That extend from your hand?
I think the wind's dying down, Jake.
They're just also incorrect. They're just the fingers are moving a lot slower than I would like them to right now. Looks like Jordan Payne coming off on his own power here. A little bit of a gimp as he kind of lumbers his way to the sideline. They'll check him out, and I'll see if I can catch a report on that.
He's a senior. You know, he's ready. He'll get this taped up or whatever he needs. He'll get back in there.
Moline leading United Township 22-20 at halftime.
Wow.
Last I saw, Sterling had a 6-0 lead on Quincy, but that was really early in the game. And Rock Island just jumped into the neutral zone. And that's going to be close to a Galesburg first down, but I don't think it'll be quite enough.
Should be short.
No, they're waving him forward.
Wow.
They're moving on the chains. I thought he was going to be about a half yard short.
First down.
I think Coach Hammer's over there asking, you know, what is this about?
Yeah.
I guess it depends if that stick is at the tape. What I mean by the tape is the chains have a tape that is right in the middle. And you use that tape to know if it's going to be a 5-yard penalty. If the sticks are in the middle, if it's close to that tape or beyond that tape, it should be a first down.
So the Streaks get a first down by penalty and then run it up the middle across the 20 down to the 16-yard line.
Here comes Jordan Payne.
Alex.
Yep. You know, pretty much right on cue. Jordan Payne back in the ball game. A lot of streaks coming back in. Going to have a whole change in personnel. Kyron Leith back in. Looks like you're going to see Damian Thomas in, and that means that we're going to see the wishbone in double tight, and certainly here it comes.
Ben Roan got a high five coming off for the play. Leith crosses back up the middle as he started to run left and found a little hole on a cutback through the middle, and that should be enough for the first down.
Yep, they're calling it
about
already.
3.5. And the Streaks continue to move the chains, keeping the ball on the ground, even with the wind behind them. And the clock will roll. Under 7:40 to go in the third quarter. The Streaks trailing by 6 and a new set of downs inside the Rock Island 13.
You know, Jake, you talked about Ben Roan coming off, and we're going in center here real quick, but two quality snaps by him to come in as a senior and at a time where Jordan Payne was down to come in.
To the good left snaps. Side and another good run from the Streaks across the 10 down to about the 7 before Damian Thomas is finally brought down. Damian thought there was something a little extracurricular going on at the end. He was wanting a call, and now he'll come out. And the personnel changes. Dre and Cohen Derry will line up to the right. Kyron Leith comes out. Alex will line up behind Tristan Hovind, who will come up under center now. Second down Streaks to Alex. Cuts down. Back to the left. Touchdown. Runs right into Marion Rogers in the defensive secondary and just kept him piling forward into the end zone. And the Streaks tie it up in the with 6:57 to go. In the third quarter.
With the way the first half ends, guys, there couldn't be any better medicine than what the Streaks just did.
Absolutely.
Physically dominating drive. Just kept it on the ground, just saying we are better than you, and they proved it right here.
I was just getting ready to say it's good medicine right there. That's what we needed coming into the half. The way it ended last half, flush your system, come out here, put together a nice drive, tie the game up, an opportunity right here to take the lead.
Alex's third rushing touchdown of the season. John Wren in for the extra point, and it gets blocked. Oh. And Rock Island was flying in from the right side of their defensive line and got the block. And it's Brozovic who got it.
Yep.
And then so the game stays tied at 21, just under 7 minutes to play in the third quarter.
Well, I tell you guys, the ball game has lived up to its billing. I mean, this is the this is the marquee game of the Big Six, right? And the Streaks are in it. And that's maybe something that not everybody back home knows. But this is the only game of the night where you got two undefeated teams here, and they're slugging it out. And certainly here we are halfway through the third quarter, and the Streaks are showing every bit as capable of playing with the Rock Island Rocks.
So 13-play scoring drive for the Silver Streaks. 5 minutes, 3 seconds off the clock, and they moved it 67 yards.
Outstanding drive.
Alex with the touchdown run.
Set
the offensive line really set the tone.
Yep, absolutely. Just controlling up front, which we've seen in the last 2 weeks, and continue to see it here tonight. And hopefully this continues to go in our favor as the game wears on. You know, continue pounding them up front.
Well, here's what we haven't seen tonight yet is we haven't seen a turnover. And in a game like this, that's what's going to change everything, right? Right now, each side is kind of waiting for that one big turnover.
Streaks pooch the kick, coming up as Rogers at the 28-yard line, gets a good bounce, and a return of only 3.
That's a great kick, and it just was an unfortunate a little bit here for the Streaks because usually something like that bounces a lot more funny. That thing landed perfectly flat and bounced right up into Rogers' chest.
And we have a penalty flag on the other side.
We do have a penalty down. Now, that usually indicates that a streak in the kickoff is somebody is past the point of the ball.
That's what I was wondering.
That's the wrong line, though. We should have been the 15 yards away
holding.
From it.
Did he just say holding? Looked like he called holding against the Streaks.
On a kickoff?
Yeah.
Pushing the back?
Oh, pushing the back. There we go.
Also on the kickoff?
With him facing the other side, I couldn't see. Yeah, I don't understand that either. Maybe Sean's got access to the replay, so he's going to look for it here.
How do you push in the back when you rarely see that on the defense?
I'm going to guess it could have been on Riley because he's the contained man over there.
And we've got another long discussion by the officiating crew.
I see no one over there.
Coach Mike Washabaugh is out there. He had his hands out. The hand signal indicating what could that possibly have been? The referee walking to the opposite side. I think they're going to wave it off. Eli Reese, the quarterback for Rock Island, shaking his hands as if it's going to be waved off. Sean's going to go to the coaching crew to the right of the partition to ask what they know here. Go ahead, Jake.
If they can call an illegal use of hands, like if one of our defenders got up and around the helmet, something like that. But a block in the back, which is what he signaled, is never called on the kicking team on a kickoff. So anyway, here we go. We're going to have a single tight end, and Rock Island has a ball at their own
43.
43.
So first offensive possession of the second half. Rodgers of the cutback runs right into Damian Thomas and stops him at the 45-yard line for what looked like it might go for something pretty big. And Thomas brought to a stop immediately for a gain of just a couple, maybe three.
Yeah, their version of a misdirection, a little counterplay, although they aren't pulling linemen like as you traditionally see in the counter, but you have one back going one way and one squirting out the other. The Streaks did a good job staying disciplined in their defense.
12
carries, 32 yards for Marion Rodgers tonight. Second and 7. Reese, quick sideline pass to the near side, slipping a tackle is Perry Slater, and then run out of bounds and over a Silver Streaks player and an assistant coach on the sideline, and they're going to knock him out in first down territory at the Galesburg 46.
It's another kind of screen. We call that a now screen. The quarterback's just going to catch and throw, and again, a numbers game. One blocker, one defender, and one ball carrier.
Rakeen came up. He sold out to try to make the play. Missed, but he kept the guy inside. He did not let him get outside of him.
From 146 to the other. First down, Rocks, Galesburg 46-yard line after the gain of 8. The short gun, Rodgers sweeping to the outside, to the 45, flag down, way back in the backfield. Gets across the 40, out of bounds at the Galesburg 30. They're going to mark him out at the 33-yard line. And this one coming back. There's the hold called immediately. Certainly the position of the flag on the field would have indicated as such, and it negates a big Rock Island gain and what would have been a first down.
And a completely unnecessary one at that. The hold was called on the offensive right, and the play went all the way over to the offensive left. But we'll take it.
Well, Cam McGuire was held on the perimeter as well.
Yeah, and on that side, I just don't think that's what they called, the one they called.
No. Actually, it wasn't Cam. It would have been Xavier.
So the flag down at the 47, a yard behind the line of scrimmage, so it's going to result in a loss of 11. And it'll take it back across the 50 to the Rock Island 42-yard line. Rock Island's been whistled 9 times now, penalized 9 times. Just 2 on the Silver Streaks tonight. Now there's the third one. The Streaks jumped off sides.
The announcer's jinx.
Oh.
That was on me.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to have to wear that one.
Phase 4.
Yeah. Listen, Rock Island, for the first time tonight, goes on a hard count. I'm down here. They have not done that one time. They go on a hard count, and the Streaks will now have to be aware of it. We've got a very wide trips formation to the far side of the field.
And still 2 guys. There we go.
We are walking him over.
Just past the midpoint of the third quarter. Gets a pass away to that far side. Complete to Jacoby B. Now steps up, crosses the 50 to the 45 to the 43-yard line. And they'll get a good chunk of the yardage back after the initial holding penalty. And it'll be third and about 5?
Yeah, just about. There you have, I don't know, you've seen that was probably the 10th or 11th bubble screen of the night. And again, the Streaks haven't given up anything major, right? They're continuing to play the bubble screen, but it's proven to be a very positive play for the Rock Island Rocks.
Should say second down. Had back-to-back penalty, so still second down. Pass to the left side, dropped.
Get it. Screen.
Is it the ball behind the line of scrimmage? You guys certainly thought so, but the ball trickled out of bounds on the far side, so it's incomplete. Intended for Brozovic.
If it was a lateral, it should go where the ball is out of bounds.
Right, they're going to call it an incomplete pass. But here's the deal. Tonight, don't take anything for granted because you're not certain what's going to get called out there. So absolutely play everything live through the end. You might get lucky.
We've seen it once already. And it was not in favor of the Silver Streaks. All right, now third down. Third and six. Rocks spinning left. Gets a good lead block. Reese gets it away. Man open in the flat to the 30. Now running to the far side down to the 20. And then finally dragged down at the ankle. Cole Rusk brought down, but all the way down inside the Galesburg 15-yard line.
Javion Beckham saving a touchdown there, running all the way across the field. And listen, Cole Rusk just finds a soft spot.
Just sat down.
Just a soft spot in the zone. And then he's probably one of the best athletes out on the field. And he shows it right there, running all the way across and making a very positive game.
Gain of 28. Down to the Galesburg 14-yard line. And a pretty good quarterback throwing to him. The handoff to Rogers, sweeping to the left side, cuts back into the middle and runs into four white jerseys. Stopped short of the 10-yard line. It'll be a short gain on first down. Clock continues to move under 4.5 minutes to go. Third quarter, tie ball game, 21 apiece.
Very fortunate there for the Streaks. Riley Hickey recognized him very late that he needs to get to the other side of the formation and does so, and he gets in on that tackle.
Second down and six. Two left, two right. They throw that direction. Complete. Far side of the field into the hands of Brozovic, trying to go for the pylon in the corner, but he's knocked out at about the three.
Xavier played that pretty well. Xavier Coleman.
Yep. It's a bunch of now screens and bubble screens. And these are high percentage throws for the quarterback. So when you look at Reese's numbers, they're going to be extremely inflated in completion percentage.
He's at 193 yards passing for the night now. After that, 8-yard completion. First and goal from the three. Handoff to the right. Rogers easily in for the touchdown. Across right tackle. Really wasn't touched until he crossed the goal line. So Rock Island regains the lead by six with 4 minutes to go in the third quarter. First rushing touchdown of the night for Marion Rogers. The leading rusher in the Western Big Six Conference. Streaks have held him to 12 carries for 35 yards, but he's still done his damage somewhat as a receiver.
Correct.
Yeah.
A couple of those screen passes he's been successful with. But, you know, as our defense being the leading in the conference for, you know, rushing yards
for
given up for defense. Yeah, absolutely. But we got to keep the pedal down here. You know, we talked about how we – up front, we were doing some good work, and they turned around and moved the ball right down on us here. So we need to get the ball back and do the same thing in return.
9-play scoring drive for Rock Island, 57 yards. And they take 2 minutes, 53 seconds off the clock. Our thanks again to Galesburg Nissan for providing our transportation to Rock Island tonight. And we want to congratulate Jeff Klink, 25 years now with Galesburg Nissan, and Jeff treats us very well. They've sponsored our road trips, providing our transportation for a number of years now, not only for football broadcasts, but for Galesburg High School boys and girls basketball. Tonight traveling in a 2019 Rogue Sport SL all-wheel drive, list price just under $26,000. And congratulations to the folks at Galesburg Nissan also for the grand opening coming up Monday of their new pre-owned auto center and car care detail shop located at 1687 North Henderson Street right next to Arby's. So big grand opening coming up on Monday. Lots to celebrate at Galesburg Nissan, and our sincere thanks for all the ways that they have helped us out by sponsoring our coverage of Silver Streaks football here on WGIL. The kickoff coming from Campbell.
Short.
Up into the wind, short, taken at the 25-yard line, and a return to the 30 and stopped there.
Is that Xavier Coleman?
Yep.
So 3:55 to go, third quarter. Despite the heaviness of this game against the Silver Streaks at times, they are down just a touchdown.
Just one score, that's right. I don't know why, it does feel different. But you're right, just down one score, and certainly more than capable of moving the football, at least on the ground, however they want.
That's what happened on the opening drive here in this third quarter. 67 yards in 13 plays, most of it on the ground. Pass on first down, though, to Dre. Gets into some open field and then dragged down at the 40-yard line. Good open field tackle made there by Travis Thomas. But a nice little quick flip to the outside. And Dre moves the chains up to the 40.
Jake, is that a slip screen?
42.
Yeah, little slip screen there. And you got, showing the athleticism of those interior guys. Reed Hawkins out there snapping the football and then getting out there on the edge, making a lead block there for Dre. Good play. Something we haven't seen yet.
From the 42-yard line of Rock Island. A little miscommunication on the snap. The handoff goes to Alex, though. Cuts up field at the 45, tackled at the 47-yard line. He'll pick up 5 on first down.
And that was all Alex. Like, he did that. Yep. You're right. You saw some miscommunication. The snap was a little high, and there wasn't much out there. Alex put his left foot in the ground and got 5 yards, and that's all you can ask of your running back there. That won't go down as one of the bigger gains of his, but it was definitely one of his best runs tonight.
Second and 5 streaks, 3:15 to go here. Approaching midfield, handoff to the left side.
Still good.
Good move, Kyren. By Kyren, dragging the defenders across midfield, and he's got the first down to the 46-yard line. Kyren comes up holding his arm.
Get control of stuff here.
Something going on with his helmet. He's coming to the sideline. What a run by Kyren. They're going to keep him in the game, though. He's trying to get whatever situation is going on with the equipment there straightened out.
And
what a run by Kyren.
There's their coach again.
He called timeout.
So the ball sitting at the Rock Island 46-yard line, just under 3 minutes to go here in this third quarter. 28-21 Rocks, and the first timeout on the field. Kyren on that 7-yard run, 91 yards on the ground on 17 carries tonight. That's the most work we've seen a Silver Streak running back do in a game this season. And he's earned every bit of it.
No doubt.
And again, credit to the offensive line. What a job this offensive line has done through the first 2.5 games this season. Certainly in the Geneseo and Quincy games, they were the stronger front, helped the Silver Streaks, just to a great extent, dominate that win over Quincy last week and control the line of scrimmage, even in a one-possession victory over Geneseo in the opener. And they are doing the job here tonight, helping the Streaks move the ball offensively. This has been a back-and-forth game with the Rocks on top by 7 right now. Streaks with the ball in Rocks territory at the 46. Under 3 minutes to go, third quarter.
Streaks double tight. 3 running backs in the wishbone formation.
Legate hands off to the last man through. Trying a little cutback left to right through the middle across the 45. Tackled at the 44-yard line. It'll be a short gain.
Damian Thomas there on the football and on the run. And there was a lane. They call it the cutback lane, or they also call it going out the back door. And there was something there. He tried to jump cut. Wasn't quite able to get to that cutback lane.
Nice job to pick up 3, though.
Yep, no doubt. Back in the traditional eye, we've got a tight end to the right as well as 2 receivers.
An overload look.
And toss that way.
Alex trying to get to the outside. Good. Bounces off 1 defender. Spurts forward. Has the first down inside the 35. Down to about the 32-yard line. Just like a little extra burst of speed once he saw that lane. And a big gain of 11 for Alex. Move the chains.
Got a Rock Island player down.
Is that Brozovic?
No, that's 11.
11? Terrell?
Yes.
Terrell Akers.
Sorry, got his first name.
Alex had 33 yards on 7 carries in the first half. He's got 33 yards on 6 carries in the second half.
Yeah, very balanced the Streaks are. And the Streaks go into the wide side of the field there. They've made their money tonight offensively running the ball, usually to the short side, and been especially, I've noticed, I don't know if you guys have noticed, been very left-handed tonight with the run. I'd be interested to see those splits. Huddle, the video program that all teams use, give you the splits sometimes left or right. And it's either, I don't know, it's not been that way the first 2 weeks, but tonight something the Streaks like on the offensive left side of their formation.
Well, it could be the fact that we've run a lot of those plays to the boundary.
Right.
It could be nothing more than positionally looking at what the defense and what their players are and running away from them.
Clock winding down toward 2 minutes to go in the third quarter. Handoff up the middle, trying to bounce to the outside. Good little run on first down.
That's Dre, Alex, just always falling forward. And, you know, just simply.
Gets to the 28.
You do the math, you fall forward, and that's 2 yards, you know. And he's just always falling forward and finishing his runs.
Absolutely.
Just very adept at doing that.
finish the run.
Second and six streaks from the Rock Island 28-yard line. Seven-point Rocks lead. 90 seconds to go, third quarter. Out of the eye. Two wideouts to the left. Hand off Alex again. Up the middle. Spinning to the 25-yard
line.
Still
going.
Still on his feet, yep, but forward progress stopped at the 25 before he's finally pushed backwards. And some extracurricular activity at the end of the play. Dre shoves a player. There's the flag comes down. Mike Washabaugh shaking his head in frustration. Dre's got his helmet off. Streaks had to get him out of there. So I don't know what happened at the end of the play. Probably to his brother, I'm guessing.
Yep.
And Dre didn't like it.
So he was taken down after the whistle, probably about 4 yards behind where they blew the whistle. And so, you know, guys get frustrated about that. And the officials are letting him play here. And then extracurricular started. I think that, you know, Alex got up and kind of pushed a guy. And then other things happened, unsportsmanlike.
And it's going to be offsetting. So they're going to call a double unsportsmanlike on both players. So the result of the play will stand. Probably the right call there. Somebody needs to get Dre cooled down. Right now you got a couple players talking to him. Somebody's got to get him cooled down. We got a good ball game here.
So a gain of three for Alex. And now whistles. And we got another equipment issue apparently. Third and three from the 25-yard line. The official on the far sideline coming in.
No, he called timeout. He
on his
let's,
own.
Let's talk about this is what he's doing.
Oh. Because does it negate the play with offsetting penalties? It was after the play was over.
Right.
I think
so
the play would stand.
The play stands if it's after the play is over.
So I don't know if that's what the question was. And
Coach Hammer disagrees.
And now they're going to talk it. Now they're going to bring the other line judge in and talk to him about it.
They nodded to Coach Hammer as if, yeah, okay.
So I'm guessing he blew the whistle on the far sideline at the request of Coach Hammer for Rock Island.
Yes.
Not because he was checking it on his own. So now we're ready to
officials
ready
are going
to
let
run
it
the
ride.
Play.
Yep. Going to let it ride on the third and three here.
So a minute to go, third quarter, and the clock runs. Streaks down seven. Third and three from the Rocks, 25-yard line. Out of the wishbone. Hand off to Alex. Goes right. Got the first down. 20.
And more.
Inside to the 19-yard line. And a good pickup of six on third down, and the Streaks move the chains again.
You know, I want to go back to before the game. We were talking to a security guard from Rock Island. He was a player that played back in around 2010. Is that what you say, Brad?
Yep.
And he said, boy, what I want to see tonight is just a good old ground and pound from these two teams. Well, one team is doing that, and we are certainly moving the ball, and we are grounding and pounding very well tonight with the Streaks.
And off to the left side, it'll be Kyron Leith for a pickup of about three on first down to the 16-yard line. Leith approaching 100 yards on the ground on the night. Second and eight,
yep. So here come the receivers. Here comes Cohen Derry. Here comes Tristan Hovind. Dre back in the ball game.
Again, with the streak still with the wind at their back, but they haven't, and they won't be for much longer. Down to the final 5 seconds. Are they going to get the snap away? 2-1.
Yep.
They do get the snap away. Alex up the middle and wrapped up just short of the 15-yard line and pushed backwards, and that's where the play and the quarter come to an end with the streaks down 7. They'll have the ball just short of the Rock Island 13-yard line on third down when we come back on WGIL and WGIL.com.
You thought winter was rough on you until you saw your driveway. Holy potholes. If you need help in the concrete department, call Courtright Construction. They're concrete craftsmen who have a reputation of exceeding expectations. Give them a call. Courtright Construction, the right choice for your next project.
You just crashed your car, had an accident, and you don't know what to do.
Dave's Auto Body.
You better call Dave's.
Nobody covers the Silver Streaks like 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Galesburg Sports.
28-21 Rock Island. Three quarters gone at Rock Island Public Schools Stadium. Brad Benowitz, Sean Hickey, Jake Miller. Will Stevenson, our broadcast engineer. We go from one end of the field to the other. But the Silver Streaks facing a third and six at about the Rock Island, just short of the Rock Island 15. Actually, they're going to spot it right at the 16-yard line.
So it's closer to third and... Let's see, what are they doing here?
Yeah, it'd be more like third and seven.
Yeah. Definitely two down territory here for the Streaks now.
Especially
in the fourth
into
quarter.
The wind now, too. Yeah.
Into the wind, yep.
Double tight, I formation.
Trailing by seven. Legate.
Get outside.
Alex does get to the outside. Left side, 10, wrapped up, taken down. Close to the five.
It's real close.
But that'll be the officials waving their hands.
Placing
They're
the
going to move it. They're going to move it. We got the referee saying move the chains.
They can kind of use the soccer line to eyeball that one. And so, yeah, it was very clear. That is a first down. So we got first and goal here from the nine.
Streaks are 5 for 5 on third downs in the fourth in the second half.
That's a good stat to be 100% on.
First and goal.
Uh-oh.
And the ball comes free on the fake handoff to Damian Thomas, and Rock Island recovers it. And there, when Jake says there it is, he means the comment earlier in the half, the way this game has gone back and forth, what's going to turn it around for somebody is a turnover. And there it is for the Silver Streaks.
Yeah, it's a big one. That one hurts, but it's obviously not the end of the world. The Streaks have shown the ability to respond defensively when bad things occur. And defensively right now, that's what they need, right? They don't need a three and out, but they certainly need to pick their offense up here and get them the football back.
You know, we were talking at the break there going into the fourth quarter. That was only the third possession of the second half. And this brings up the fourth possession.
Rock Island takes over at the 11, and the Streaks jump on the right side of that defensive line.
We're going to get it on the offense. I saw the right guard jumping as well, and they are going to call it on Rock Island.
Oh, all right.
Sure. Yep.
Oh, their whole offensive line was moving forward. Oh, wait.
Well, now the officials are going to talk it over.
The back judge is going to overrule the side judge as to who moved first?
The side judge called a false start, which I also picked out. I saw it. We certainly jumped two. It's a close one to call.
Looks like the referee is overruling everybody and saying it's going against Rocket. Now he's going to come.
He's pointing and against Rock Island.
Yep, and he's going to explain it to Coach Ben Hammer on the far side, down at about the 12. And he's still pointing backward. There's been a lot of this tonight.
Flip a coin.
Now I just called it twice. False start, false start.
Did you hear the announcer here at the stadium said apparently that was a false start. So the frustration has been felt.
Yeah.
It's been felt both ways. Yeah.
The right tackle lifted his head long before we went off sides.
So first and 15 back at the 6. Out of the gun. Back in the end zone. Throwing off his back foot. Reese complete across the middle of the feet. Right into the numbers. And a complete and a long run by Jacoby B. And the Streaks in a foot race. And a dive at the 20 and they won't catch him. Takes it all the way. 94 yards. And I don't see a flag down anywhere.
No. That's perfect football. That was a perfect pass, middle of the field where we're vulnerable. As you hear the sirens go off, and it was just a good play call, good pitch and catch.
And he throws so well.
Yeah.
Eli Reese.
You know, I certainly understand why he's highly touted and highly recruited, because he stood in the pocket. He's shown to throw all kinds of passes. I don't see anything he can't throw. And that was... His accuracy was on the money on that one.
94 yards. One play. 94 yards.
Like Jake said, after turnover.
Yep. Although I don't know that that was necessarily the play that they were expecting or trying to go for, but that's what the end result was. And they certainly got a big play out of it. So the high snap, and now Brozovic is just going to tuck it in and go for the corner. And did he get across the pylon? Tough to see from up here. The officials are going to talk about it. I don't think he got in. And they're going to say, yep, he got swept out at about the 6-inch yard line, or the 6-inch line. So no 2-point conversion. Brozovic is arguing with the official, saying, I got in.
The ball crossed the line. But there's no official over here to see that.
Yeah, and that's tough for them because if you're lined up in a position to – that one is not the official's fault. If you're lined up in the position for a PAT, there is no side official. There isn't six officials like there would be in a college or an NFL game.
So the run fails. It's 34-21. Silver Streaks trail by two scores and pretty much the entire fourth quarter left to play. So time is on the Silver Streaks' side in terms of making a comeback. But they have put together two long drives here in the second half, one resulting in a touchdown that took a little over 5 minutes off the clock. The other resulted in a turnover inside the 10-yard line.
The Streaks facing their largest deficit tonight and of the season. They have certainly not been down two scores, if even been down one score, to be honest, now that I'm like going back through my mind in the first two games. So, you know, it's what kind of team is going to show up here in response is certainly a lot of things not going their way tonight. And what kind of attitude and effort they're going to put forth here on this drive.
So two Silver Streaks waiting at the 10. The kickoff down the middle and coming over for it and taking it at the 12. Running up the middle of the field is that Aguirre again to the 35. Still pushing the file forward close to the 40. Picked up an extra 5 yards after the initial contact by just pushing everybody forward.
Yep.
I see Cam come out of there. Yep, that was Cam.
Yep.
Good return. Good start here. Looks like we're going to be in a 38, 39-yard line heading out first and 10.
All right, so 11-11 to go in the game. Silver Streaks now down 13, 34-21. Ball at their own 39-yard line. Legate in the pistol. Short drop, good protection. Rolling right, looking, dumps it off, intended for Aaron Carl, thrown too high, incomplete, second down.
Yeah, just not much room to run there at the end, and Aaron Carl kind of being bracketed. You got a couple tall defenders here out here on the edges for Rock Island, and Tristan trying to dump it over one and be behind the other. Probably an incomplete pass. It was best case scenario there.
Legate 6 for 16 passing tonight, 65 yards. 11:05 to go, fourth quarter. 13-point Rock Island lead. Now back up under center. Hand off to Alex. Cut up the middle to the outside. Far hash mark to the 43. Short gain of 3, and it'll be 3rd and 7, Silver Streaks.
Nice cut there. He didn't see much to the outside. He got his outside foot in, turn up. And because of lowering his shoulder again, I think he got about 2 or 3 extra yards out of it.
Yeah, we'll actually call it a gain of 4. He's up to 91 on the ground tonight now.
Big third down here. Got to keep this drive moving.
9 of 12 on third downs tonight. Legate rolling right, coming back for it, and Derry dropped it at the 50-yard line. 2 yards past the first down marker. So had he hauled it in, was right into the numbers. And on a cold night, he didn't make the catch. And it's fourth down.
Ball was there. I think Coach Washbaugh is going to roll the dice here.
I think you have to.
Yeah, I mean, time-wise, it is what it is. But right now, Rock Island has had the ball twice in the second half, scored twice. I think certainly you got to expect that they've got things rolling. You need to keep pace, and I like this call.
4th and 7, Silver Streaks. 0 for 2 on fourth downs tonight. Legate back to pass. Coming back for it. Diving backwards. Dre Egyptiaco. And the catch is official in Rock Island territory at the 48. He had to come back for it and went down low, but was able to get it before it touched the turf in the Streaks with an enormous fourth down conversion.
Yeah, that's a big play to keep this drive going. It's very important. Obviously down 2 scores, and the Streaks continue to show that they want to put the ball in the air here against the wind. And we're spreading it out some more. We got 2 receivers left. You got Dre and Hoven right.
Tristan dropping back. Legate looking long. Ball got batted away from behind, and the Streaks just scoop it up at the 45-yard line. Johnny on the spot. Jordan Payne prevents bigger damage there as the ball got scooped off the back of Tristan's hand as he rocked back to throw it. And sweeping in from the backside, Terrell Akers knocked it loose, and the Streaks avoid a turnover.
Yeah, Tristan's got to speed up the clock there. Right? It took a little bit long to get rid of the football, and man, I had a view of that, and I saw that going real bad. So I'm glad we were able to cover it and continue the drive.
Streaks lose 8 on the play. Go. Looking right, coming back for it. Left is Dre. Good block to get to the outside, and a defensive back comes up very quickly and makes a stop short of the 50-yard line.
That's closing speed right there.
Sure,
I mean,
that
guy was. He read it well. He was about 15 yards away. He saw it and came flying up.
So the ball at the 48-yard line, they pick up only 4 on what from this side of the field looked like that could go for a big play. But the defensive back shut it down quickly.
Cohen Derry with 8 inches of size advantage down here at the bottom of the field.
9 minutes to go in the game. Rolling right. Tristan dumps it off, intended for Alex, but that was right back at the original line of scrimmage. So it would have been a short gain. It falls incomplete. Fourth down. Stopping the clock. 8:57 to go with the Streaks down. 2 touchdowns and facing fourth down again.
You go for it once. You certainly go for it here, but it's different now. You're behind the sticks. Not a lot in the playbook for 4th and 14. Pivotal moment.
Streaks needing to keep the drive alive with under 9 minutes to play in the game, down 13.
I like Hunter Davina here.
Out of the gun, back to pass. Tristan across the middle, hopping. The catch made by Dre inside
Should
the 40 down to the 37-yard line.
And a late flag back here by the quarterback. Are they going to catch
holding against the Streaks?
They did.
So it negates a fourth down conversion and a first down. So the flag down. Sean's checking the replay. Came on the left side of the line, I'm guessing.
Pretty weak.
Germany, they're
it's pretty weak.
Not much argument down here. And, you know, again, the fourth down call here, but fourth and 24, fourth and longer. You got to punt it at this point.
So it takes it back to the 34-yard line. And remember, the Streaks kicking into the wind, which really hasn't died down a whole lot since early on.
Nice snap.
Hunter gets a low drive that takes a big Galesburg roll.
Best case scenario.
38, yep. Rolls all the way down to the 25. So now the defense needs to come up really big. 8:38 to go in the game. The Streaks come up empty, taking a little over 3 minutes off the clock, and still down 2 scores. Biggest task of the season for the Silver Streaks defense, if Galesburg is going to rally back in this one now. What better time than to force a turnover? Rock Island's put the ball on the ground a couple of times tonight, but the Streaks haven't been able to get it. This drive starts from the 25.
Well, if you're Rock Island, do you run the ball here? They have not had much success running tonight.
They do keep it on the ground to Rogers, and it's a short gain to about the 27. And good sportsmanship, which is good to see after some tensions earlier in the game. Give him a gain of 3 to the 28. Again, the Silver Streaks run defense continues to be stern, but they need to stiffen up as much as ever tonight. Now Rogers
counter.
Bounces to the outside, and a good wrap-up from the backside to prevent that from going any further. Was that Aaron who got him?
Yeah,
yep. Aaron Carl wrapped him up.
Aaron actually made him bounce that and came off and made the play.
Yeah.
We've seen 2 fantastic plays tonight, one by Hunter Davina to force the jet inside and make a tackle. And there again, we have a nice play by Aaron Carl, who forced the run that was coming in, forced it outside, came off and made a tackle.
That goes as no gain. Rock Island has faced third down only once in the second half. This is the second time. The quick pass to the outside, complete to Jacoby B. He's got the first down up the far sideline, steps it back in across the 40, and finally taken down at about the 42.
Almost got it. You saw it, Jake. Go ahead.
Yeah, Riley did the right thing there. No one would need a turnover right here. He was in there on that, and as his teammate kind of had the tackle secured, Riley trying to strip that thing, and he was close, and he knew it too.
Yeah, it was close.
14-yard reception by Jacoby B puts Eli Reese over 300 yards passing on the night now.
If Eli Reese wasn't the starter earlier in the year, I don't know why. Like, I have no idea. I know they were kind of running two quarterbacks from what I was reading.
Yeah.
Goodness.
Jet. Hold.
Hand
Thank
off
you.
As the, theirs comes the flag down as they get it to Brozovic, who slips a tackle, now crosses the 50 to the Galesburg 45, where the play comes to a stop. But the hold on a couple of flags thrown will bring it back.
Yeah, Riley came up and played that well. He was the one who eventually got held. Certainly would have turned things in, but he got held on that play. So we'll bring that back.
6:56 to go in the game. 34-21 Rock Island. Streaks need the ball back in a hurry so they can score in a hurry twice. And the holding penalty takes Rock Island back to the 30-yard line. So first and 22 coming up here. 11th penalty of the night against the Rocks for 81 yards. And the clock rolls, 6:45, with a 34-21 Rock Island lead. Reese taking his time. Now comes set. Gets the snap, looking right. Pump fakes, now rolls right under pressure. Wrapped up by Davina and taken down in the backfield.
Ooh, that was a quick whistle.
Streak's finally able to get home on one of those. I don't know the stats, but I think that's the first sack of the night. After a couple of weeks of getting to the quarterback multiple times, and they've done a good job, Rock Island, scheming for our edge rushers, and the fact that their quarterback gets the ball out of his hand fast, and he's shifty, finally able to get home, and we've got, oh my gosh, what is this, third and as many as I've ever...
Second down,
and as many as I've seen.
It was second and 20, or it was first and 22, so now second and 32.
There you go.
Under 6 minutes to go in the game with the Streaks down 13. Reese back to pass, flushed out of the pocket. Rolling left, gets the pass away and underthrown the intended receiver at the 45 as B has become the favorite target here in the second half. And it'll be third and 32 now.
And good news there, you know, incomplete pass. Stops the clock with 5:42 left in the game.
Yeah.
Get a nice little hold here. Punt the ball back to us. Opportunity to score fast and get, you know, right back in the game. Not that we're out of the game by any means.
Second half, Eli Reese is 6 for 8 passing for 163 yards. Back to pass on third and 32. Goes to the far side, up, slipping one tackle.
Good, Riley.
Hickey wraps him up on the far side at the 30-yard line as Joaquin Spinks went for the interception. And now the play finally comes to a stop, and they'll stop him at the 31-yard line.
I was worried there. Joaquin kind of going for the ball, and all he needed to do there was secure the tackle and running a short out when you're behind the sticks like that. Trying to make a play, and I certainly understand that.
Yeah.
Well, this is the time of the game where you have to sell out for that.
Yeah, I mean, certainly understand it.
Yep.
The Streaks might need a big one here. A good block punt is something that we would love to dial up. We've shown we can do it twice. It's led to two of the Streaks' three scores.
Twice and a third one that ended up not helping them right before halftime. But that was when Campbell was in there punting.
Right. They made the change.
Yeah. And then they made the change, right. So Russ gets this one away. A high kick with that wind will help. And the Streaks have to fair catch it at their own 36-yard line. Not much of a chance for Joaquin to return that one, especially with Kai Rios bearing down on him. So 4:41 to go in the game, and the Streaks need to score twice. So the defense held, but Rock Island still took almost 4 minutes off the clock.
Well, it's go time here. I mean, this is an opportunity for us to hopefully move down the field quickly, put some points on the board.
Need a big play into the wind, no less. Legate will lined up in the gun. Two wideouts right, one setback in the backfield. Legate rolling right, throws it on the run and underthrows Cohen Derry. Are they going to call it a catch at the 42?
They are. Go.
They do. Derry came diving back, rolled on top of it.
Come on, guys.
Goes into the gain of six.
The Streaks traditionally no huddle, so going in a hurry isn't anything that's out of the ordinary for them. They can get it. They can get the ball quick and get it snapped.
Second and four. Out of the gun. Straight drop back. Legate looking long down the far side into double coverage.
There it is.
They're good.
Derry gets knocked down by the double team at the 25-yard line.
Yeah. He's slow to get up, and I understand why.
No pass interference. They could see that one from across the river in Davenport.
And there you can see the arm strength of Tristan Legate into the wind. That was a good 40 yards in the air, and the ball was fairly accurate. And Cohen just getting like they were trying to steal his lunch money or something out there. And luckily, I mean, the officiating crew had no choice but to call that. The only problem here in high school football, that's a 15-yard penalty. Would have loved for it to be a spot foul the way it is in the NFL. But it's a 15-yard penalty, and it'll stop the clock and keep the Streaks moving here.
So that'll move the ball into Rock Island territory. Should be at the 43. 4:12 to go. And, yeah, again, credit to that offensive line for giving Legate time to find that and make the throw. Looking left quickly with a man in front of Dre. Gets that lead block complete to the 30. Trying to slip a tackle and taken down just short of the 25-yard line. And that'll stop the clock with 4:02 to go to move the chains.
Real nice move on the outside to get some extra yardage there and then try to have guy miss. Rocky rallied well to the ball, but we're going to get a first down here, move the chains. Clock is stopped until they set the ball.
Legate over 100 yards passing on the night now, 53 yards receiving for Dre Egyptiaco. Down to the 26. Legate rolling right. Throws on the run, throws it right into the numbers of Jalen Brozovic, who intercepts it and is tackled at the 31-yard line. So second turnover by the Streaks in the second half. When they were down a touchdown, got it inside the 10, fumbled it away, and now an interception should just about do it.
Yeah, probably. With
3:49 to go.
You know, sometimes it's especially when you're young and you're playing the quarterback position, it's easy to get locked in on your number one target when you're throwing the football. And I think, unfortunately, that's what happened there with Tristan. He's got a primary receiver on that rollout, and he wanted to try to force it into that primary spot.
So the Streaks have all three of their timeouts, and they'll have to use them to prevent as much time from going off the clock as possible here. And now,
did we miss something?
The officials just moved the ball back 5 yards. I don't know. Did they just spot it in the wrong place? Or?
No, it's first and 15.
Scoreboard says first and 10, but the chain gang has it at first and 15. Now they changed it.
Now they're moving them.
So I did not see. Well, now they're moving the chain gang back, which would reset it at first and 10. So I guess it was just a bad spot. So from the 26, they'll keep it on the ground. Rogers trying to spin away from a man, but taken down immediately. Picks up a yard, and the Streaks use the first of their three timeouts, and they're trying to get the clock stopped. They had at least 3 seconds roll off, maybe four. 3:39 to go is where it stops with a 34-21 Rock Island lead. Let's take a quick timeout as well, with the Streaks trailing on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Silver Streaks football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. They'll hang the big hat up on the sign so you can see it. By Lox Roofing and Siding Incorporated. Tackle all your home projects with one call to Lox Roofing and Siding. And by Go Van Gogh's, the T-shirt factory at 237 East Tompkins Street in downtown Galesburg.
At RP Lumber, we got you covered. Cabinetry, countertops, flooring, and fixtures. We'll help you pick the products that fit your style to your budget and deliver everything right to your home. Find your nearest location at rplumber.com. RP Lumber. Think twice, call once.
News, talk, sports on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Whistles blow just as the Rocks get the play off coming out of the timeout, the Streaks' first of 3 second-half timeouts. And they did add some time to the clock, but I don't know if they were in the process of adding the time.
Well,
and the officials weren't ready to.
Yeah, the ball was snapped before the play was blown clear to go. So the Rocks were just a little bit itchy to get a play called or a play ran.
So second and 10 from the 26. Now they got the clock reset, 3:44. So they did add, 7 seconds to the clock when the Streaks initially called that timeout. Out of the gun, Reese. Hand off to Rogers, sweeping to the outside. Gets through. The ball pops free at the end.
Inadvertent whistle.
And the officials are now going to blow it dead. I'll tell you, you know, it was a heady play by Perry Slater as he and one of the other Silver Streaks defenders were going after the ball, and he batted the ball forward, which would have left him the only guy to go after it.
Also not legal.
Not legal. You can't advance that.
But it would have prevented from the Silver Streaks from scooping it up there.
Yes.
So the Streaks use a timeout with 3:33 to go. And Rogers will be down at the, I'll mark him down at the 33. So he picked up 7. And the Streaks have one timeout remaining. And the last thing that they can afford here is for a gain of 4 and a first down.
Right. Looking at the replay, he was down on that.
I thought so.
I thought so.
Well, I was just wishful thinking.
I don't fault you for it by any means.
I didn't want the video to confirm it.
All right, 3rd and 3 for the Rocks. 3's all over the place. Ball on the 33. 3:33 to go in the game. Streaks down 13. Reese will keep it across the 35 to the 36 where he stopped.
Did he stop short?
That is going to be really close. Oh, the officials are going to give it to him.
Well, we called time. Oh, they move it?
Yeah.
Oh, and we called the timeout anyway.
We did call timeout. Yeah, I couldn't tell if it was stoppage of clock for a first down or a timeout, but they moved the sticks.
So they'll have to pick up another first down, but the Streaks don't have the opportunity to stop the clock any further with 3:25. They can't just run it out at this point. But
no, if you take 3 knees, you can run about 2 minutes and 40 seconds off the clock. So we're outside of that. So they're going to have to continue to run plays.
Yep.
Obviously, one more first down, and that's probably going to do it. As the Streaks have run out of timeouts at this point.
So this one will be a tough one to swallow.
Yeah, it will.
Because there were opportunities here tonight. But say what you will about the still head-scratching call right before halftime that allowed Rock Island to get the ball at the Galesburg 7 and score 3 plays later, which put Galesburg down 6 at the half. It's the 2 turnovers that have really done the Silver Streaks in here, as Rogers with a carry into Galesburg territory down to the 38-yard line. I thought he was actually out of bounds back at the 45 or so, but it's academic. As that'll take it down to 3:18 to go. Rogers' biggest carry of the night. We'll mark it at the 37. So they move the ball from the 37 to the 37, a pickup of 26 for Marion Rogers.
We kind of had him bottled up there, and he bounced it outside and got the extra yardage. We have to finish plays.
Went from 45 yards rushing on the night to 71 on that carry, and he'll get it again. Running to the right side, he runs into Damian Thomas across the 35 to the 34 where he stopped and piled upon. And we got a player down for Rock Island in the backfield.
Pharaoh Gray.
So that'll stop the clock with 3:06 to go in the game and a 13-point Rock Island lead. And some of the Streaks players stretching out some calves out there. Aaron Carl among them.
He's played a number of snaps tonight.
Yeah, he rarely leaves the field.
Right. Yep.
As many Streaks are that way.
Well, same for the Rocks.
Yeah.
I mean, look how thin their sideline is.
Yep.
Yeah, we were commenting on that on the way up. In fact, as soon as we got a copy of the roster that the athletic department sent us earlier this week, I think we all noticed that immediately. The much lower number of players on their roster. Gray is up. And a little gimpy coming off the field, but walking on his own. So the Silver Streaks will be home next Friday night against Moline. We'll see if we can find a score on that Moline-UT game, which was just a 2-point game at halftime. Sterling leading Quincy 21-7 at the end of the third quarter. Now it's a final, 28-7, as my Twitter just updated quickly. And looks like UT and Moline tied at 36 with 9:46 to go in the game there. So that's been a tight one all night long.
Both those teams looking for their first win.
Yep. Up the middle, right into a pile of players. Will be a short gain, and it'll bring up third down for Rock Island. With the clock rolling under 2:40 to go. It was Rogers again. They'll give him no gain.
I know the guys are doing it. They've been coached on this. When you get them stopped up there, you're trying to punch the ball out. You're trying to rip it out. Do everything you can.
Third and seven for the Rocks at the Galesburg 34. Pass to the far side. Complete. And that'll be a first down up to the 26-yard line.
And that'll be it.
Yep. Where Rusk was finally taken down. Yep, and that first down will be enough for Rock Island to then just take a knee with 2:02 to go three times, and the game will be in the books. Tough, tough loss here tonight for the Silver Streaks.
But what heart, I mean, to come out and play the way that we did. We played inspired. You know, I think one of the things that we look at from last year and a Rock Island team that was really good came to our place for homecoming. We had a weather delay, pushed it back to Saturday, played them on that Saturday, played to overtime.
Yep.
And they won an overtime with a field goal. So those games like that burn for a while, you know, when coaching staff brings up the replays and they show that.
Well, we heard Mike Washabaugh say they've been showing that field goal all week long to try and inspire this team. And now here's a late flag as the officials had blown the play dead on Marion Rogers' carry to the 25-yard line, and he got pushed backwards 5 yards, and the Streaks just kept playing through it. As you were indicating a moment ago, Sean, just doing everything he can to try to get the ball back.
But you have to stop at the whistle.
Right, but the whistles had blown and then had blown again,
yep.
And they just kept playing through it. So Coach, the late flag will be against a personal foul penalty.
Yeah, Coach doing a good job of bringing that player out of the game. Coach Washbaugh doing that, and not as a punishment, just as protection, really, at this point. The thing is, it's everything is academic at this point, so let's get out of here and have no further issues to deal with going into the next week. You know, these are kids, right? And sometimes the adults need to make sure that the kids are put in the right position. So it was a good job on Coach's part there.
So down to the 15-yard line. And there's the first knee by Eli Reese with under a minute to go in the game now. So Reese will finish the night with 320 yards passing.
It's a good night.
Aided by that 94-yard catch and run by Jacoby B. So they'll take as much time as they can here.
And that'll be the last
one. That'll be the last one, yep. It's under 40 seconds to go. 34-21 is the final. The Streaks lose for the first time this season. Rock Island improves to 3-0. Sterling also 3-0 by virtue of their win at Quincy. Streaks will be home against Moline next week. Our postgame show is coming up next on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Silver Streaks football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Yam Auto Group on North Henderson and Galesburg, home to Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram. Say yes to Yam. By First United Methodist Church in downtown Galesburg. By Courtright Construction of Oneida, the right choice for your next project. By Bates Collision Center in Galesburg, we take the decision out of collision. By Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating in Galesburg, you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. By Galesburg Nissan on North Henderson Street, home of the lifetime warranty. Silver Streaks football is also brought to you by RP Lumber. Best service, best value. By Watson Thomas Funeral Home and Crematory in Galesburg, celebrating life's legacy. By Dave's Auto Body in Galesburg, you better call Dave's. And by Kehoe Eye Care, they care for people, not just eyes.
proud to bring you GHS Silver Streaks football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Over.
Aren't the walkie-talkies a bit much? Hello?
You didn't say over.
It's Patsy and Michelle from Bates Collision Center. We want you to know that Bates Collision Center is still here and ready to help if you need us.
And for now, we're offering no contact estimates as well as free vehicle pickup and delivery.
We're doing everything we can to keep you protected and our team at Bates safely working to provide a factory perfect repair guaranteed.
Bates Collision Center. We take the decision out of collision.
Robert, there's water running down the stairs. Do something before it ruins all the carpeting and walls.
Too late, sweetheart.
Hi, folks. This is Neil Thomas with Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. Don't get caught off guard with a catastrophe like this. Sign up for our annual plumbing maintenance program. We'll do a complete inspection of all your plumbing as well as your sanitary sewer and give you the peace of mind you deserve knowing your plumbing is in good condition. Call us today at 342-HEAT for more details. You'll be glad you did.
Easter is not just a time for chocolate eggs, new clothes, and the signs of spring. Easter is about the hope of new life through God's love revealed in a powerful, resurrected Jesus. I'm Pastor Vince Roan from Galesburg First United Methodist Church. Join us Easter Sunday morning at 9 or 10:30 to hear about that hope. Join us in person at 120 North Kellogg Street or online at firstumcgalesburg.org. Let's find hope together at First United Methodist Church.
Final stats, the Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game, and comments from Streaks head coach Mike Washabaugh. WGIL's coverage of Galesburg High School football continues with a Silver Streaks postgame show. Brought to you by Watson Thomas Funeral Home and Crematory in Galesburg. Celebrating life's legacy. Silver Streaks football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Galesburg Sports.
34-21 the final. The Rocks beat the Silver Streaks. Our postgame coaches interview with head coach Mike Washabaugh brought to you by RP Lumber. Best service, best value. Let's go down to the field. Jake is with the head coach.
Coach Washabaugh, you know, just to talk here, first of all, what was the marquee game, I think, of the Big Six tonight? Two 2-0 teams going at it. And, you know, barring a bunch of other things aside, the product on the field tonight was exactly what you thought it should be. Two teams kind of slugging things out, and Rock Island and Galesburg both showing things offensively, what they could get done. What seemed to turn the tide there in the second half?
Yeah, I mean, I won't know until I go back and watch film. I thought our physicality was up and down. You know, I mean, I don't question effort or anything like that, but there were times we were really physical moving the chains, and there were just times, you know, we were just kind of matching them, and I thought we were the more physical team when we wanted to be. You know, he just kind of got away from us. We turned in the last part of the fourth quarter. We had to push the ball a little bit vertically. But, you know, we were chunking him in the run game. I mean, that fumble down there, and, you know, I won't know until I watch film. But, I mean, that really hurt because that would have been the game tying, you know, and then we would have been chasing points.
Yeah, it seemed like tonight especially, they're athletes. I know you talked about it in the pregame. They're athletes on the edge, Rusk and others. Definitely, I think tonight seemed to be the difference in the game. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, they did a pretty good job matching up Rusk. He was always kind of the number one receiver. They did a lot to get him in the slot and get on some of our guys, you know, just a bigger body, 6'6". So that was something they haven't done. But yeah, you know, the big play, I mean, I think we gave up the one big pass play. But other than that, you know, the bubbles, the nows, and the screen, like, I thought defensively we were banging the rock. You know, we would have went in, I don't know if it would have been 14-13 or what it would have been a halftime without that punt. So, you know, I mean, like, there was a lot of moments in that game. Like, it's kind of a blur. You know, just traveling through the entire four quarters in the last 2.5 hours.
No doubt. I wanted to talk because that's certainly something that we've been talking about all night long, was getting explanations on things. And as I had to ask you for things and asking other people, asking the video guys upstairs, talk about the boys in terms of, it seemed to me the resiliency was there till the very end. At halftime, I didn't get to talk to you. Were you able to do X's and O's at halftime, or were you common 16, 17, and 18-year-old boys down? It certainly seemed like they came out and they drove the field and scored.
Yeah, I mean, I just talked about game plan, you know. Like, I was pleased. Like, I just talked about defensively where we were, the plays that got us, you know, making some adjustments. Offensively, we're moving the chains, you know, doing what we needed to do. You know, I went back and reverted to what we talked about going in the Geneseo game about playing the snap cycle. Offense, defense, special teams, play the play, flush it out. Like, bad things are going to happen. I did not address anything, like, with penalties and like, the Innervern whistles, and then that punt. Like, I didn't, you know, I just talked about, well, here's the fourth phase of that. Like, I mean, don't let that get you down. You know, I don't know. I just talked about, like, I'm still down on plays. You know, we're still down up. Defensive pressure is doing what we got to do, you know, to try to win the game.
Yeah, certainly we saw, you know, a little bit that the second half did get a little chippy, but our guys certainly seemed to pull themselves together and throw it in till the end. Obviously, the big turnover going in, as you talked about, was that when a game that's back and forth, we talked that one play, one turnover was probably going to be the thing that turned this thing around, and I certainly think that's got to be it, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, that's what made us chase points, you know, right. And I'm not placing the blame on any of our kids,
right.
But that's what got us behind, you know, and then we had to kind of alter a little bit of our game plan while we were caring for those three and a half quarters.
Certainly. Well, Coach, thanks for waiting around for me, and I'm sorry to get to talk to you at halftime, but good luck to you, and going into Moline this week, correct?
Yep.
Okay, home game. Thanks, Coach. I appreciate it.
Yep, thank you.
34-21 the final. We'll take a break here to come back, take a look at our post-game statistics. Rocks win at 34-21 on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Right there where that giant tree is, that's where I want the garage. And then I want the sidewalk to wind around where those bushes are. Need site prep, foundation, or concrete? Call Courtright Construction. They understand how pivotal those beginning tasks are. Give them a call for your next project. Courtright Construction of Oneida.
You just crashed your car. An accident, and you don't know what to do. Who do you call? Who can you trust to make your car look like new? Where there's only one name you need to know, there's only one place to go.
Dave's Auto Body.
You better call Dave's.
I can't get these headaches to stop.
Could it be your glasses from 8 years ago? And I love you, but you are much too cute for these outdated frames.
Hey!
Just saying, Kehoe has designer frames and the best eye exam available. You're worth it.
When you go to Kehoe, you'll see better after you get the best eye exam available. You'll look better with stylish new glasses, and you'll feel better because any nasty side effects from not seeing will be gone. See, look, and feel your best.
At Kehoe Eye Care, we care for people, not just eyes.
Galesburg High School football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Tom Irons at Accounting Systems on South Simmons Street in downtown Galesburg, and by Templeton Roofing. Call Templeton Roofing when your roof matters. Learn more at templetonroofing.com.
Tune in for Markley Van Camp and Robbins, weekdays at 2 on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Our post-game statistics are brought to you by Kehoe Eye Care. They care for people, not just eyes. 34-21 the final. Rock Island defeats the Galesburg Silver Streaks tonight. Eli Reese, the quarterback for the Rocks, 3 touchdowns, 320 yards passing. Marion Rogers finished with 20 carries, 75 yards, and a touchdown. Xander George early in the game carried it 3 times for 11, and then not again the rest of the night. Eli Reese, the quarterback, took a couple of knees at the end of the game, and he ended up with -6 on the ground. Receivers, you go Jacoby B. with 140 yards of receiving tonight, including a 94-yard touchdown. Cole Rusk, 73 yards. Brozovic with 46 yards. Brozovic had 2 of the touchdowns. Marion Rogers, 2 catches for 46 yards and a touchdown. Perry Slater and Kai Rios each had a reception. Rock Island penalized 12 times for 96 yards. For the Silver Streaks, Kyron Leith, 18 carries, 93 yards and a touchdown. Alex Egyptiaco, 19 carries, 91 yards and a touchdown. Tristan Legate, 4 carries and for +1. Damian Thomas had a 3-yard run tonight. Legate threw for 101 yards tonight, including an 11-yard touchdown to Hunter Davina. Aaron Carl had an 11-yard catch. Alex Egyptiaco had a 12-yard reception. Dre was a leading receiver tonight, 5 receptions for 53 yards. Cohen Derry had a 6-yard reception. And Tristan Hoven had an 8-yard reception. The Silver Streaks were penalized 5 times for 45 yards. Galesburg now 2-1 on the season. Those are your post-game stats. We'll close it out with the Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game when we come back on WGIL and WGIL.com.
When you have your crash repaired at Dave's Auto Body, you may qualify for Detail for Life. We will detail your car for free 4 times per year for as long as you own your car. So if you would like us to help take the sting out of an accident,
you better call Dave's.
The more you love someone, the more it hurts to lose them. So as much as we deal with the sadness and grief that comes with loss, we also get the privilege of seeing so much love.
Mark and Tricia Thomas of Watson Thomas Funeral Home and Crematory in Galesburg.
One of the best parts of what we do is hearing the wonderful stories that families share with us.
And if we can take those memories and create a farewell that encompasses all the love and joy and happiness they were a part of,
then we've done our job.
Watson Thomas Funeral Home and Crematory in Galesburg, celebrating life's legacy.
Look at that. Have you ever seen a more beautiful shot? I don't know if there's ever been a more beautiful shot, even with that blasted phone ringing in the background.
Sorry, sir. It's the people.
Yes, this is he. What? I'm being blamed? What about the wall? The wall of tires? And gas prices? That's not my fault either. We help you make sure your vehicle is running properly. Car-Mark Tire and Auto in Galesburg, where we're treading with excellence. Now that's gripping stuff.
Don't let getting your hands on building materials be the thing that keeps you from landing that next big job. RP Lumber has the hardware, tools, and building materials to help you knock out one project after another. Find your nearest location at rplumber.com. RP Lumber, we keep you building.
Silver Streaks football on WGIL is brought to you in part by the UPS store on the corner of Main and Seminary in beautiful downtown Galesburg, and by Bradley Hicks, Century 21 affiliated. Morning, noon, nights, or weekends, Bradley Hicks will help you find your dream home.
Nobody covers the Silver Streaks like 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Galesburg Sports.
34-21, the final. Rock Island defeats the Galesburg Silver Streaks. First loss of the year for Galesburg, returning home next Friday night against Moline. Our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time player of the game tonight, fellas, and really just kind of one name that seemed to keep coming up as we thought through the impact moments of this game.
Yeah, certainly. Hunter Davina had two blocked punts. One of those he would have picked up and scored had there not been an inadvertent whistle. He also had a touchdown reception on a deflected ball. In the end zone there. So that would be who I'd be going with here. Jake, what do you think?
Yeah, I would tend to agree. I mean, his blocked punt that turned into what should have been a score was something we talked about, turning around Uncle Momentum as we were down there after the Rocks scored. So that led to our first score. It certainly turned the game around, kind of gave the Streaks the feeling that they are definitely capable of playing in this ball game competitively. So I'm going to agree with Sean. I'm going to go with Hunter Davina.
All right, and I'll reemphasize what you just said there, Jake, is even though that the Streaks didn't score on that blocked punt, they did end up scoring after recovering on the possession. So Hunter Davina, our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time player of the game, and not much else to say, I guess. It was a curious night at times and a frustrating night at times, but bottom line, it was the two turnovers in the second half that more than anything really cost the Streaks an opportunity to win this game. So we'll see how they respond next week.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Again, home against Moline next Friday night. Hope you can be with us. Happy Easter, everyone. Hope you have a wonderful time this weekend, whatever you have plans. And may you have an exceptional time with your family and just celebrating in whatever way that you have the opportunity to do so. Thank you for being with us for the football broadcast here tonight. We'll see you next Friday night. At home. Good night from Rock Island.
Thanks for listening to GHS Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Galesburg Sports.